Tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, 7-year celebration, 400 episodes, Dave LaGreca from Busted Open in studio, and much more. Next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Greetings and salutations from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And on behalf of myself and the Portuguese pain in the ass Choppy, we want to wish the Shining Wizards a congratulations on a monumental 400 episodes. I don't know who listens to this shit, but they must be doing something right. God bless you guys. Love you. See you soon.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. Nothing works here. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work.
I have a small dick.
Titties.
God damn. Woo!
Boy, I tell you this much, my friend. 400 episodes, 7 years, not a goddamn thing has changed. Oh, no, it's your mic.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yeah, why do you keep using that one?
Look, I don't know. There's problems with the equipment. There's problems with the microphones. Ladies and gentlemen, as we have said before we started, this is episode 400 of The Shining Wizards. Of course, celebrating the very end of our seventh year, our seventh anniversary. And of course, we've got a special guest in the studio. But first, Tony.
Matt.
Kevin's here.
And taking his seat, pleasure once again to be joined by SiriusXM's Busted Opens, Mr. Dave LaGreca. Dave, welcome, my friend. Welcome back. It's all right. You get all choked up.
Okay. I am. I'm a little choked up.
He's really happy for us.
I am.
Yeah. Well, we're very happy for you.
Thanks, man. It's always good having you.
You don't like the headphones?
No, I'm not a big fan. I can hear you guys.
Okay, fair enough.
Are we taking phone calls?
We might.
We might. We haven't decided yet.
Then I'll put the headphones on.
So last time you were here, you were touting a huge announcement on Busted Open.
That's right. Did I say that?
You guys were going to make an announcement later that week, and it was the announcement that you were going 5 days.
Wow, it was that long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I only come here like on your anniversary. I was thinking about that on the ride over here because every time I've come here, and this is like the third or fourth time I've come here, right?
This is the third time. Third.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
It's always been cold, and it's always been around Christmas. So I'm guessing the other two times I was here was on your anniversary. Am I right?
It could be.
We could look it up real quick.
It could have been a milestone because our anniversary and our like – milestone episodes don't always sync up. This one just happened to sync up, correct?
Yes.
So episode 400, it could have been episode 300, could have been episode 150, could have been, but this is like the big one. This is 400 episodes and 7 years all at the same time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? I can't believe people listen to this shit.
They do.
I know.
Let's see.
It's okay. Crazy.
All right. Dave is right. A little off with the month, but we're moving up in the year actually. You were here for episode 193. That was February 24th, 2015. And then you were also here for episode 296, which was January 24th, 2017.
So I was wrong.
Pretty much. No.
No, but we were approaching huge milestones, so we probably mentioned it.
Well, it's not only that, but
the winter thing was right.
Yeah, it was cold.
Dave comes around just about every 2 years. So we might have to have you back in 2020.
Well, you've invited. Well, let's face facts.
Let's do it.
The only reason you guys wanted me on the show today was because you thought I was going to get you Mark Henry.
Absolutely.
And then you at least you're being honest.
And then you tried to give us Dave Sturcio.
I did.
Oh, I thought you
guys were boys. We're boys with Dave.
We are. Dave's not episode 400 material, though.
Wow.
What
are you talking about? He's a ring announcer.
Impact.
Yeah, man. Bound for Glory. That's a big deal.
It was a huge deal.
We're happy for him.
Dropped the ball when he was on camera.
Oh.
did you see that?
No, I was there, so I didn't. What happened?
He announced...
And you know he's listening to this.
He announced Johnny
Impact.
He might be.
We're just busting balls, but I know he's one of those new, the sensitive hipster kids. So I'm sure one of us will get like a message.
I don't think hipster when I think of Dave, but I could be wrong.
He, Johnny Impact was from what?
Slam Town.
Slam.
He said he was from Slam City. The cartoon show that WWE.
Yeah. Hey, that's close enough.
And Impact got in his ear and had him correct it.
Which was funny. It was a moment.
Have you seen Slam Town lately?
No.
It's become more of a city than a town.
Oh, all right. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's growing. A lot more businesses, industrial areas now.
Well, Brian Cage just moved in, and he'll be taking over probably on January 6th. How's that for a plug for Impact Wrestling?
But, yeah, I was actually hoping Dave Sturcio was going to be here because I haven't seen the guy, and I know he's friends with you. So I thought maybe it might be cool to get him in, and you guys are like, there's not enough room. No, could you think of a more bullshit excuse than there's not enough room? Is that what you said to him, by the way?
Yes.
It's tight in this. It's tight in here, man. Like it's tight, and then it gets hot, and then it's awkward, and there's not enough stuff. There's not enough time to cover everything that you got going on, what we want to do, and just listen. We love Dave, and I told him he can more than welcome to call in if we open the phones. And
I think
figure something out for 2019.
I don't remember if it was the last time Dave was here, but it was the three of us. Eddie was here. Dave was here. And Matt surprised me with Drew Gulak making an appearance here.
Nice.
So we had a crowd and a half.
Yeah, I sit over there when there's more than four people in the room. That's the most uncomfortable seat ever.
And Drew was sitting where the drinks are. Like, that's like we had to put him on like the hard seat there where the by the way, the couch vibrates. I don't know if you remember. So if you need a little massage, you took us.
Yeah,
there you go.
I appreciate that. But don't get away from the first point that I made, though.
Yeah,
that we hate Dave?
No. That you were trying to get Mark Henry on. The only reason you invited me is because you were hoping I was going to get you Mark Henry.
Look,
and it didn't happen once. There's been several. I love the way it goes, too.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
Dave. Hey, Dave, we'd love to get you on the show.
That's
talk
all
about
me.
Busted Open and everything. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you can, could you try to get Mark Henry? It would be a big surprise for the show if you could get Mark.
Do you understand that that's not necessarily how he lays it out to us?
He's like, oh.
It's good producing, by the way.
He's like,
I try.
He's tough, man. Like,
He tells us we have Dave LaGreca. I'm like, awesome. We love Dave.
Yes.
Coming in. Meanwhile, in his little mind, he's working on getting,
Tom. Wants the big man.
Now, here's the thing. This is how we learn how good Matt is at what he does. Kevin and I booked his birthday episode last week, and we've gone into this tradition where we book like an insane amount of guests from like a myriad of places. And we don't tell the birthday boy who's going to be on the show. So Kevin and I were going through the old emails, looking to see who we've reached out to before, if we have ever gotten anybody.
It's fucking hard.
But not only is it difficult, but we saw the amount of work that he puts in just to get one guest for a show. And imagine multiplying that by, I don't know, maybe about 50 or 60, you know, to try to reach out. So he really, we don't know about what goes on, but we got a glimpse into it last week, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, he does a great job.
I didn't know that he was bullshitting you about Mark Henry, by the way, because I'm always glad to have Dave LaGreca in studio. I don't need I don't need anybody else when Dave LaGreca's here, you know?
Yeah, right.
At least me.
But that's not true either, because the last time I was in, I had Sam Roberts call
in. Yeah, but you did
you had Sam call in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and
I knew you were gonna bring that up too. Once this whole thing started,
the last two times you've been here, you leave early.
Yeah, it's
that's not true.
It is.
Yeah, you bet.
Wait a second. No, that's not true. The first time I was here,
you brought
I brought my wife, but I stayed for the whole show. I thought.
I feel like you got here in the middle of the show.
And if I remember the excuse correctly, I have to get home and watch SmackDown. Because
that was the second time.
That was the second time.
It's true, though.
I'm not blaming you.
I mean, come on. I mean, you guys can't, you know, you guys are hoping that, like, that whole thing, move the Fox, is going to happen sooner rather than, you know,
it's going to be super helpful.
Then that'd be helpful.
That'd be major.
But, I mean, you know. After last night's a disaster of a show.
Ugh. Worst show. Terrible show.
Like, how do you bounce back from that?
Do you think they know how bad it was?
There has to be someone there who is like, hey, we like shit the bed.
Let's not kid ourselves. This is the time of year where they tend not to bring their A game during the Christmas season. There's tape shows. There's this and that. So this is where it started early. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't expecting it last night. But don't they tend to take some time? Like, not take time off.
No, I get what you're saying, but here's what they're up against right now. They lost Triple H. Triple H is the guy behind the scenes that does a lot of this in and out stuff. So that's a big hit right there. They just lost Braun Strowman. They had him via tape.
Yeah.
You know, they lost Becky Lynch. They lost Roman Reigns. And now the title's back on Brock Lesnar. So everything they had planned up to this point, they wound up getting monkey wrenches just thrown at everything.
True.
That's why we're getting Baron Corbin versus Finn Balor week after week. You know, that's why we're getting,
Bobby Lashley you know, I guess Finn Balor and Elias.
No, but we saw, what's his name again last night? Seth Rollins and
Ziggler.
Look, they always put on a good match. Every week, it's like, come on, give me something different.
That was the only good segment of the show.
Yeah,
but
what I mean is, like, they continuously go back to that. Like, how many times can you do
that? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, all right, I look at it like a football team. So they lost their starting quarterback with Roman Reigns, and then they get, you know, their backup in Braun Strowman, and they lose their backup too. I get it's tough,
yeah,
but you still got to play the game.
Yeah, well, of
like,
course.
You know, like what I saw last night was them just saying, you know what, we give up. Like, let's just play a repeat of 2 months ago, because that's what that show felt like.
That's a great point.
It was terrible.
Do you
still got to try to win the game?
No, you're absolutely right.
Is there a point where you like punch out and you're like, I'll just watch it later and fast forward through all this crap? Or do you sit through all 3 hours?
Here's the problem. When we were on 3 days a week, I was able to do that because we weren't live on Tuesday. So like when there was some of those disaster shows, I'd be like, you know what, I'll just watch the rest tomorrow. I can't do that now. You know, and especially now that we're on in the mornings and not the afternoon, I got to watch it in time. I don't have any other time that I can watch it. So I got to sit through it, man. Got to sit through that.
That's rough.
That's
man.
Tough.
Go
ahead.
So especially now with the amount of content that's on every day, like, you know, Monday Raw, Tuesday SmackDown, you know, do you watch the mixed match? Do you watch NXT? Do you watch everything in real time to make sure you have it ready for the next day? Because that's got to take a whole lot of time and a lot out of what you would maybe like to be doing instead.
No, I consume a ton of wrestling. Yeah. It's not as bad as you think. Raw is the toughest one, 3 hours. But, you know, I'll watch SmackDown in real time. I would be doing that anyway. That wouldn't have changed. NXT is only an hour. So I can actually watch NXT Thursday morning when I first get to Sirius. I could watch that in the mornings. And that's what I usually do. I usually don't watch it Wednesday night. I got to spend some time with my family.
I was just going to say, yeah.
I watch Impact, but I usually watch that, like, it's tougher now because it's on at 10. When it was on at 8, I would start watching like an hour in so I can kind of DVR it, fast forward through it. So Impact has become a little bit tougher. And then I catch up with Ring of Honor and New Japan during the weekend. So it's not that bad as you might think.
Right, but it seems like it could be, but you explaining it like that.
Well,
makes
it's a lot of content, and I mean, I can't speak for Dave, but I know Dave has a family. I'm married, Tony's married, Kevin, he's hitting whatever moves. He's a stud.
Good for you. Is that true?
Yes, just say yes.
Yes, it's true.
Good.
But like I work in a restaurant, so to find the time for me to watch like everything in a week, it's like painstaking.
Yeah,
and you have to start with where we left off. So we do a show on Tuesdays, so it's like SmackDown's a cakewalk, and Impact. By the time I get to Raw, I'm like, fucking. Like last night was like,
that was
I felt
a tough
like
one.
A midget was punching me in the testicles for 3 hours.
It's pretty good though when it's that this time of the year because you can go back and forth with Monday Night Football. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I already I had won my fantasy game, so I was like,
"Do you do the fantasy?"
No,
no.
I make ridiculous decisions based on bad things that have happened to me. So back in 2004, like those, that's the early years of like fantasy football. I was in the championship game, and I got pneumonia, and I was in the hospital.
Oh,
and I couldn't do my lineup.
That's awful. So I don't mean to laugh.
And
awful.
I lost.
But you know what?
Since then, I haven't done fantasy football.
But you know what's sad? If I was in the hospital with pneumonia and it was like Saturday night or Sunday morning, the only thing I'd be able to think about is checking my fantasy football lineup.
I don't know. But I'd be thinking about breathing.
No, that's it. But that's how addicted to it I am. Like, I check it every day. Waiver wire every day.
Oh, really?
But here's the thing. This is like, if that happened now, I could just do it on my phone. But this is 2004.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I'm in the hospital. You know, I'm not in front of my computer at home. I couldn't do my line. I lost. So since then, I was so angry and so upset, I haven't done fantasy football.
I used to do rotisserie basketball where you set your lineup. And this is back in middle school. So this is maybe 1997, 96, 97. And we'd actually have to print out the papers, put our lineup in, and then send it in the mail to the commissioner of the league for the week. Or you'd go at school and you hand it your lineup in.
You had to mail the paperwork to the commissioner?
Yeah.
Or you
most of the times it was in school, but like you would go in school and like you'd give him your you know, your lineup for the week. It wasn't set
day. That would be way too much effort for me. I'd be like, yeah, I could do it out there.
You look at every team, basketball, who has the most games in the week. This and that, and then you just set your lineup accordingly, and you send it off.
That's way too much work for me.
That's a lot of work.
Well, yeah. Well, imagine if you're 12. It was brutal.
By the way, what's Matt Taven like the tweet today? Are you guys boys? Are you with Matt Taven? Okay.
Oh, you'd be surprised who we're boys with.
Yeah. Taven, he did the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep. Do you like Matt Taven?
I do like Matt Taven.
I love Matt Taven. I love everything about the Kingdom.
We've had all three of the Kingdom on.
No, we haven't.
Not TK Orion.
Right.
Vinny we've had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to Final Battle?
Of course. I'll see you guys there.
I will not be there this year.
What?
I have to work.
I'll see what I can do.
It's a bummer. I'm kind of bummed.
Well, we got our tickets for the Garden, though.
Yes.
I'll be at that show.
Awesome.
At the Garden.
Really?
I'm excited. I always forget about that. Then you always bring it up, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
Because it's so far away.
Yeah.
26, right? It's like
the day before. The Saturday before, right?
Yeah, Saturday before Mania.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Oh, you're talking about WWE.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What were you talking? Oh, you're talking about the New Japan Ring of Honor show? I'll be there, dude.
Awesome.
My man. Are you guys going to come to the 10th anniversary celebration of Busted Open?
When is it?
Give us a date.
It's that Saturday.
Oh, absolutely.
In Manhattan, the afternoon of the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Where
are you guys doing it?
We got a couple places in mind. I can't say because I don't want to give the wrong thing. But it'll be close to the Garden.
Nice.
That'll be an awesome pre-show.
I'll be fall down drunk by the time the show starts.
You mean when you get on the train?
Basically.
You get your ticket before you walk in the Garden.
Send me a screenshot.
It'll be early. It's going to be like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No problem.
But so it's if people are going to NXT, they have plenty of time to, you know, hit the subway and get over to Brooklyn. So.
Now, what was NXT, obviously, Saturday night, and the Super Show the same night. What was your – why did you choose to go Super Show?
Just because this is history.
Yeah.
That's the same. I'm pretty sure that's the same reason we all got tickets.
Plus Bully. You know, yeah, Bully.
Yeah. Well, didn't NXT announce after that – or was that always a thing? They were going to be in – TakeOver was going to be the same night as that?
I think they flip-flopped
them. They flipped them a couple years ago, right? At least last year they did. They do Hall of Fame Friday now and NXT Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Hall of Fame's on Friday. And NXT
used to
Saturday.
Be the Hall of Fame was Saturday night. Before,
okay.
You know.
So they're running. So when's the New Japan show?
Same night.
Saturday.
So NXT and NJ. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. At the same time.
How's the show now 5 days a week with all your rotating cast of characters?
I love it, man. It's been going great.
It's such an interesting dynamic. You got one day you're with Bully, the next day you're with Mark Henry, and then the next day Tommy Dreamer. As a wrestling fan, what's that like for you?
Oh, dude, it's fantastic. You know, they're all great in different ways. They're completely different, each and every one of them. Tommy's more like me in the fact that he's such an Uber fan, and you know, we're the same age and we grew up watching the same kind of wrestling and we're like sick, psychotic wrestling fans. When I'm doing a show with Tommy Dreamer, it doesn't feel like I'm doing a show with Tommy Dreamer. It feels like I'm doing a show with like a buddy, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think when you start doing a show for a long time, even with Bully, I don't look at them as like the guys I was watching, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or even now. It's just my co-host, so it's pretty, but it's pretty sick, dude. I love it. I think the show. Do you guys like it? Do you listen?
Love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I still have SiriusXM.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate
because
that.
I had it for the Opie and Anthony show, and I love Sam, but I hate him with Jim Norton. I hate the combo. I'm just not a fan. So.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Like Jim Norton, we've always found funny. Sam, we love Sam to death, but they're both good supporting guys. I don't know if they're necessarily good like hosts, if you get what I mean.
I just don't like Jim anymore. Maybe so the only reason I have SiriusXM is to Jim Norton.
Yeah, I know, but why? He's like sour?
I don't
know.
It just doesn't – him and Sam are weird. It's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird combination.
It's like – but I – for me, like, I listened to Obie and Anthony for like 20 years. So you take them out of the equation, and it's just weird for me. I just don't enjoy the show. Busted Open's the only reason I still have Sirius
in the car. I appreciate that.
I had more time. I usually catch the replay. Because I'm at work in the
morning.
That's
fine. Listen to the replay, man. You can listen on demand, too, on a SiriusXM app.
Yeah.
That's right. Let me ask you this, though. How does this happen? Like, how does, like Mark Henry get involved in SiriusXM? How does a Tommy Dreamer, how does a Bully Ray, being that they were so ensconced in wrestling for so long, is it something that they look to do to continue keeping busy? Or does SiriusXM reach out to them? Do you get in touch with them? How does that work? How do you find so many different wrestlers that find passion in radio after the fact?
Well, I have a great support system. Marissa Reeves, Steve Cohen, who are my bosses, they've supported like my decision making and they've stood by me. But Mark is somebody that I've been talking to and trying to get to be a part of Busted Open for a while. We actually spoke for at length in Dallas for at WrestleMania at Jerry's World. You know, the night before WrestleMania, we had like a 2-hour conversation about just trying to get him involved somehow, some way. So that's always kind of been on the back burner for a while. And then when the changes were made with the show, I asked him to come in and it was a no-brainer. He only had to have one conversation with my boss, and my boss supported me 100% to get him involved. Bully, I said this on the show before, and it's the truth. We were having a conversation about the Okada Omega match at Wrestle Kingdom, and we were just going back and forth texting each other, and then it got heated and we're actually talking on the phone and having a conversation, and I was like, this would be great for the air, and that started the conversation about maybe getting him involved being host, and that's same thing with Tommy.
Yeah, well, Tommy's a guy that I find fascinating, and he actually is a bucket list guest for me for this show. We talk to him at conventions and stuff like that. But Tommy Dreamer's the kind of guy that could work for Impact one day, do Ring of Honor. Of course, he has House of Hardcore, and if WWE called him tomorrow or if he called them tomorrow, he could go back. And it's not that common. Jericho's a guy that can do that. Mysterio's a guy that can do that you've seen recently. And then it's Tommy Dreamer. What is it about Tommy Dreamer that is so goddamn likable that he can work everywhere he wants or anywhere he wants?
Well, it's just what you said. He's likable. Like everybody, I haven't met one person that has anything bad to say about Tom. It's like Mick Foley. You know, Mick Foley's another one. I've never heard anyone say a bad word about Mick Foley. They're just, they know how to create and keep relationships healthy. So I think that's. It's even in the same, like probably with you guys doing this show. If you had somebody in here that was really talented, but he was a pain in the ass and high maintenance, you wouldn't want to do the show with them. I think when it comes to like Tommy Dreamer, like people want to work with Tommy because he's such a good guy. You want to work with him.
I can't imagine us working with anyone that's high maintenance.
Is there who's high maintenance on the show?
Nobody now.
Oh boy, yeah, there you go. I hear you.
Let me ask you this. Going back to Mark Henry, this is a question I would have loved to pitch to Mark Henry.
Oh, wait. You may want to put your headphones on.
But no, it's not a bad question. It's just his Hall of Fame induction. you had a chance to talk to him a lot, like you said. Did he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, hands down, no question about it. Do you know if he expected it so soon? That's a great question.
That's Bruce Pritchard, by the way.
I know.
It's more of the drop.
Was he surprised when he was asked? Was he like surprised that it came so soon?
He was hopeful, but he didn't know for sure. He was kind of hoping, and I think a big thing was what his future was with the company. It's almost like a Bill Parcells situation. Bill Parcells didn't get into the Hall of Fame right away because people thought, oh, he's going to come back to coaching at some point. Yeah. I think it was the same thing with Mark, where probably Vince McMahon and the WWE are like, ah, he's going to come back at some point. So I think that was kind of like the situation with Mark.
You know, Mark, he's a special character because he's gone through so many changes in his character over the years, and every single one has been a home run. You look at, you know, the All-American when he first came in with Jerry Lawler. That one was okay, but everything built from there.
Well, he was brand spanking new.
Well, but I mean, sexual chocolate, the whole thing with China, you know what I'm saying? Coming back, the Hall of Pain, when he made the retirement speech and he buried Cena, and he's like, I'm not done yet. Every single thing, every time they gave him something, it was like magic, you know? And it worked for him. Absolutely worked.
No, he's great. He's all, like you said, he's a Hall of Famer. It was pretty cool for me. Because both my guys went into the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Last year, him and Bully.
Bully.
So
yeah, but
cool.
Bully threw his ring at the Ring of Honor show. He threw it.
Oh, was it the real ring?
Get it. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Probably one of those like WWE shop, like, you know.
For the people that don't get to listen to Busted Open, what happened with the pineapple thing this weekend? Did you enjoy the pineapple pizza?
Yeah, I was hoping you guys were was going to show up because it happened right here at Dingbats. In Clifton.
It's gross. Just say it.
It wasn't gross. It just doesn't taste like it doesn't go together.
Yes, I agree.
It's like stupid. I like pineapple. I love pizza. It just doesn't go together.
You guys are both crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
Pineapple and ham on pizza is the king.
Ham on pizza with sausage, pepperoni, and something else, that makes sense.
Ham with pineapple is the bee's knees.
It's hot. It's hot pineapple. It's not good.
But that was the thing, too.
Wait. You've never had apple pie? You've never had cherry pie?
Those are good hot.
Okay, so what's wrong with hot pineapple?
It's gross on pizza. I make pizza for a living. It's a sin.
Oh, I forgot. It was Chef Tell over here. What is...
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, dude, he does a great job.
Yes, I ran with the Metal Fest. I gave him pizza.
I had it at the... Yeah, with a couple years ago. That food and truck.
Yeah, down in...
Wherever. Brick.
Yeah, just bring that over.
Was it
Cranford, Rawway, somewhere in that area?
Garwood?
No,
Garwood.
Damn,
no, it was right. It's like 1:30 something, right off the park.
I still have the T-shirt.
Fucking
Clark.
Clark, yes. There Clark Metal Food Truck Festival.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It would have been better if I didn't have to work it because all the bands I wanted to see were playing.
But anyway, but Nita said don't put the ham on the pizza. Because that's what my wife was saying. It's got to have ham. She said, no
ham.
You got to
have ham and pineapple.
She wanted pineapple and jalapenos. But every pizza...
That might work.
But every pizza place I went to said they didn't do the pineapple and jalapeno.
But that might work. The sweet with the hot?
It doesn't matter. They're from fucking California. They don't know what good pizza is.
Dave's right. Dave's got a point.
They don't know what good pizza... And I will say this. She texted Josh V, her drummer and boyfriend and manager. And she said that the pizza was amazing. The pizza itself, because they don't know what good pizza is out in L.A.
All right, well, let me ask you this. All right, so you're a New York, New Jersey guy. Where's your spot for pizza? Or even a couple good places where you've had pizza. In the city. You work in the city 5 days a week,
The city's...
Really?
Because I work in Manhattan, so the pizza
but nothing,
there is terrible.
You ever been downtown to, like, Adrian's in the financial district?
No.
They do, like, a grandma pie down there?
Good.
Expensive, but very good, yes.
I like... Positano's in Wayne has
very good.
Amazing Sicilian.
Yes.
You go there for Sicilian. Trevino's in Glen Rock has a great, like, regular pie.
Okay, never been there. But...
Villa Rosa in Hawthorne has a good everything pie, good veggie pie.
Okay.
And there's a place in Patterson, Patsy's, I think it's called.
I think I've heard of Patsy's,
They got a great thin crust pizza.
But nothing in Manhattan,
Nelly's
and
Hohokus has a good
thin
crust.
I'm kind of surprised. Nothing in Manhattan.
Nah,
like, I haven't found the diamond
Jersey,
in the rough.
Jersey pizza is better than New York
pizza. No arguments.
Right?
Yeah, it would have been nice if we had some pizza tonight.
Yeah, it would have been nice if the guy that makes pizzas for a living would have brought a couple with him.
You know how cold they would have been?
So? We got a microwave.
If you had pineapple
on them, it'd be good.
You can't microwave Neapolitan pizza.
Well, then you got to hurry your ass over here.
No, it's meant to be eaten right out of the oven.
Don't you work the truck?
Oh, boy.
Doesn't the truck have wheels? How great would it have been for Dave to show up and have a nice pizza truck waiting outside for
him? Where the fuck would he park the fucking goddamn pizza truck?
Right outside.
Where?
We got the fire hydrant. Nobody else ever parks there.
Oh, that wouldn't be in the
way. I got a good... Usually when I come here, I'm parked like down the street. I actually got good parking, like almost in front today.
There you go.
Very excited.
Dave's for you. And Dave, I don't know if you know, we have a t-shirt for you. It's right behind your head.
The one that says Clifton?
No, not that one. Right there. We got a t-shirt for Dave. He's getting
Nice.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
There you go.
That's the
2018 Wizards version of the kick logo.
I would give you a Busted Open shirt, but we don't have any shirts.
Really?
How is that possible?
Shirts. Because it's a whole like legal mumbo jumbo.
Do you guys not have a pro wrestling tee store?
Nope, we don't.
Wow.
We do not.
You want us to talk to Ryan for you?
Well, it's not that.
It's probably not.
I've gotten offers about doing shirts. Believe me, I want to do shirts. It's like it's a legal thing with SiriusXM because they own the name now. It's not mine.
But do
they
own
the name?
I signed away
my soul.
But do they own the name Dave LaGreca?
Well, that I could do.
See, like, that's what you got to work around.
I'm a Dave LaGreca guy in Power Rankings. That's my wife you're talking about.
Yes, the Power Rankings.
That's what you got to come up with. You got to work your way around it.
The Power Rankings, there's like a love-hate relationship with the Power Rankings.
Well, you caught a lot of shit for your top 10, too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I catch a lot of shit all the time for everything I say. Last week, I did the Power Rankings, and I legitimately forgot about Brock Lesnar. Bully's like, what about Brock? And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about Brock.
It's the worst. But that should just be a sign.
Yep.
Like your WWE world champion who's never around.
Universal champion.
Whatever, man.
He wears the red belt.
He's never around, so he's easy to forget. 10 years ago, you're not I don't even know. 10 years ago, you're not forgetting Cena or JBL.
You know what, though?
I don't even know who's champion
ten years ago.
Cena, Edge, maybe. Edge?
Yeah, Edge. You're not forgetting them because they're there every week. They're on TV. Fucking Brock Lesnar. And
I tell you what, though.
What?
The match at Survivor Series, the first like 10 minutes when Brock was just destroying Daniel Bryan, I'm like, why do I have to sit through this again? I'm like, this is ridiculous. They're going to end a pay-per-view with this. And then when Daniel Bryan hits him in the balls, I'm like, this is amazing. This is the greatest thing ever. Now Daniel Bryan's got a chance.
He's got a whole new life, that Daniel Bryan. A whole new attitude.
But it was amazing, like that turnaround, because I was so pissed.
Survivor Series was so good, I thought.
It really was.
Those last two matches were fantastic, and then it's just been crap since.
Well, there you go.
Well, what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan, the heel?
I love it. I like it. I'm into it. He was stale. Like, it just...
Was he?
I thought so. I thought, like, the fans... You know, the fans still love Daniel Bryan, but he was kind of like he wasn't the main guy anymore. People didn't perceive him that way. I think he needed to make a change. And look, it worked. He became champion.
Yeah. And he was losing. He went back to his losing ways because when Daniel Bryan was really hot years ago, they made him lose like every other match. Like they weren't giving him anything.
Let me ask you this. I always thought that when they cleared Daniel Bryan to come back, I'm like, this. I think it was in maybe like March of this year. Maybe March or...
That sounds about right, yeah.
And I'm like... Because it was after WrestleMania. So I'm thinking, all right, SummerSlam.
No, it was before WrestleMania.
It was before WrestleMania, but there was no time to... He had a match. He teamed with Shane against... So I'm thinking, all right, Miz... Daniel Bryan, they built this up so much. Miz is such a good heel.
I can't get over this.
Miz, Daniel Bryan should have been the WWE title match at SummerSlam.
It might be at WrestleMania this year. They're turning Miz face little by little.
They are again, aren't they?
Yeah, but you know what? I'd be okay with that because I like the Miz and I like Daniel Bryan.
Do you think that they could have done more with Miz and Daniel Bryan, with Daniel Bryan being the face and Miz being the heel?
I mean, I think that it's to be continued. think about it. They did a great job of presenting that this has been like 7 years in the making.
Yeah.
So it could be the main event at next year's WrestleMania or the year after. Like, who knows? Yeah. How bad does AJ Styles must feel that he's champion, never in the main event on any of these pay-per-views as your WWE champion. He loses the belt the week of Survivor Series and Daniel Bryan's in the main event against Brock.
Well, isn't the word that AJ might be coming up for contract renewal and he's contemplating going to New Japan? That's what I thought the rumbling was.
I kind of get the feeling. Did you guys watch that 365
yes.
special?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I kind of get the feeling that he might be wanting to wind down. Like,
well, could be. I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, right? 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And he's in his 40s right
well,
now.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you look at him, you don't see a guy in his 40s. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see, like this young, hungry guy that's, like, you know, busting his ass week in and week out.
I think, and us, we've known AJ Styles for years and years and years. But the audience, for the most part, probably doesn't know him until he showed up at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So they see that. We don't see that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you kind of want to see that because it's so new and you're getting all these matches. Albeit, you know, we've seen AJ Styles, Samoa Joe before, but never here.
We saw it again on Impact last week. We'll get to that in a little while.
Oh, was it their little insert for the Global Wrestling
they
Network?
They had quite a few inserts.
Dude, what is...
We could talk about that. Let's go with what we're going with, but we do have to talk Impact.
Okay. Where do you stand with Ronda? What's your...
Oh, boy.
See, just like, I can't get over that. You
I
can't
fucking
get over
hate
that.
Her. I hate everything. I hate her face. She looked like she had pink eye last night.
Yeah, what was that? Yeah. Really?
She comes out. She looks ridiculous. She's always happy. And then she turns the hat like Sylvester Stallone and over the top,
Dad.
I just can't. There's nothing like. She had a great match with Charlotte Flair, and I was super excited for her and Becky Lynch. There's nothing about her I like. I don't like her facials. I don't like her in-ring.
Do you like when she does the slaps when she's getting ready to make
a
comeback?
No, and that whole promo thing with her last night.
Well, that was terrible. Her Nia Jax wasn't very good either, by the way.
No, she
was god awful.
I usually support Nia, but... Oof.
I like Ronda. It's almost like a Brock thing where she's really good in the ring and she brings credibility, but she doesn't bring a lot else. And they should just be building her like that badass, like Brock. Forget about, like, you're absolutely right with the smiles and coming down all happy. I don't know why they feel like they have to do that. God, that bothers the hell
because
out.
It's the women's revolution and everybody's friends and everybody gets along.
And I think that's the part that bothers. I think I would be more pro Ronda Rousey if she didn't come out like she's been a wrestling fan forever. She like, and then she comes out and it's like she's just happy to be there. Like, I get it in January, but now we're in November and it's the same thing. She's really happy and then she gets the ring and then she's grumpy.
Who did we talk to about that?
Sam.
Sam. It was Sam that was like, yeah, well, she's a legit, genuine fan, so she's still in the moment of wanting to be there, but knowing all at the same time, she'll beat your ass.
Yeah, Sam actually, he made sense. He said she's not the female Brock Lesnar. That's not what they're looking for with her. And I guess to a point, but you put her in the ring with Nia Jax, like, even just going back and forth, it's not good. Like, building up to her match with Nikki at Evolution, Nikki and Brie, as much as I really can't stand them anymore, they know how to work a crowd. Yep. They can be annoying, obnoxious.
And they did a good job, too.
And they kept Ronda alive throughout the whole... And Ronda was amazing on the microphone for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the banter with Becky Lynch. Like, Becky Lynch is just elevating everybody that she talks to now because she's got a grasp on everything that's happening. Nia, not so much. She's supposed to be the big badass that we want Ronda Rousey to be, and she came out just whining like Alexa Bliss on last night.
Yeah, it was terrible. And a couple things. Like you mentioned Sam, and he's right. They want Ronda to be like the face of the franchise.
Right.
So they want her to be the one that's on the talk shows and on the posters and everything like that. So I understand what he's saying about not wanting her to be the female Brock, but I want her to be the female
right.
Brock. So that's the difference. And then when it comes to Nia, I mean, she punches Becky Lynch in the face and she talks about that you know, the face breaker and the punch and all that. She hasn't used it since.
Yeah.
She wins her match at Survivor Series. She hasn't used it. What the hell's the matter with them?
Yeah, if you're going to build
it up. How did she not use the punch?
What do you think of that whole situation, by the way?
the Becky?
Like, yeah, yeah. You think like you think it was just a mistake, because a lot of people in the business like that we follow on Twitter and that we talk to, a lot of them came out of the woodwork and said, yeah, she like cold cocked her. She just like went for it. I don't know. Like I looked at it, it looked like her hand was pulled, but she followed through, and that made the whole difference right there. I mean, I don't know. What's your thought?
She did have her thumb out.
Well, she had her hand like the Lawler punch. Yeah. She had an open
hand.
So
I think it just caught her wrong. That's what I think. I mean, anything is possible, but that's what I think.
Yeah, but like you said, if you're going to play off now that she's got this indestructible right hand where she's knocking women out with it, you got to play off of that, you know?
And a closed fist is illegal. I don't know why nobody...
Oh, that's been out the window.
They didn't hold the Big Show to that, and they don't hold... Nia to that.
No, they don't hold fist. Roman Reigns to that.
It's illegal.
Roman Reigns has a Superman punch. That's his finish.
This is supposed to defend the title every 30 days, too, and that's out the window.
I would love if they would bring that back.
And wait a minute. What is this dog shit that they've been doing the past couple of years where if you tack somebody before the match starts, they just don't ring the bell like they used to?
There's a lot going on. there's a lot going on. First of all, you mentioned the 30-day rule. They stripped Naomi and Daniel Bryan of the titles because they couldn't defend the title within 30 days. But yet Brock, you know, whatever he wants to defend the title, it's fine with them.
Yep.
That's number one. You're right. When did that start where you could start a fight before the match and they just ring the bell? Yeah. You're supposed to say, ready, and then you go. When did that stop? And the other thing that really bothers me, when did all of a sudden you don't have to hold on to the tag rope when tagging in?
Do they even have tag ropes anymore?
They're still there.
They're still there.
Very, very rarely do you see someone hold on
when
to
did,
the tag
When
ropes.
Did they start? Dude, it always had to be you had to slap. It had a to hand. Be the hand. Now you can slap him in the back. You can slap him in the leg. You can slap him at the top of the head. They don't even want. Half the time, they don't even want to be tagged in, and they get tagged.
And I'll take you one better. The dumb Lucha House Party, which I can't stand. One dude tags in the other dude, and then he tags in right after that. What happened to once you tag in, you got to make contact before you could tag
that's,
out?
Well, that's under Lucha House rules, so we can't.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
I thought I was... don't
get it. No, it's ridiculous.
Oh, well,
it's
listen,
absolutely. It's insanity, dude.
Did you read the bylaws of Lucha House rules, guys? Did you read the rules?
All no. My son wants to know is why they're bringing Fortnite llamas to the ring. That's all he cared about. He's like, he's carrying a Fortnite llama. Like, that's why this is terrible.
No, but you're right, though. They actually did away with the tag ropes for a long time.
It
like,
doesn't make
sense. Altogether, and brought them back, not going to say recently, but within the last decade or so. They brought them back. They were gone for a while. You watch, like, anywhere from, like, 97 or something like that. There were no tag ropes.
Yeah, no tag ropes.
Yeah. They brought them back, and now they still don't use them.
How do they expect the fans to care about what's fair and right inside the squared circle when they don't even follow?
There's no rules.
I don't get it.
It's Armageddon.
What are we teaching our kids?
It's chaos.
What are we teaching our children? I mean, your children. I mean, other people's children. What are we teaching them?
I hope I'm not teaching anyone anything.
And they should bring back the time limit.
Why can't they announce that? Like, this is a 10-minute time limit.
Because every match would go over.
You think so? Some of them. Some of the tag matches last night are like 4 minutes.
That's a lot. That tag match with the Revival was 2.5 minutes long.
That's a disservice to the Revival.
Didn't they take the AOP to a commercial break as well?
There was like 1,000 commercial breaks. I mean,
I get it. Too. Did they ever do that when they had the time limit? Would there ever be a commercial break? In the match that you can remember?
I can't think of the last time they've announced the time limit on
Raw. Yeah, it's been a long time.
But like even back when on WCW Saturday Night when it was like a TV title match.
Well, you would have to because that's the rules of the TV title. See, WCW followed the rules.
But would they ever go to your recollection, all three of you, would they ever go to a commercial break
during the match?
During a match that has a time limit? Mm.
I don't think so. I think the idea of the time limit was to get people to tune in because they waited. The result was like... If it's a 10-minute time limit, it was at like the 9-minute, 40-second mark, or you would get that, you know,
or you get
weird
the time draw.
Limit draw.
Yeah. It's
I'm trying to remember in the Sting Flair match, Clash of Champions, did they have a commercial break during that match? Because that match went long.
They probably did.
But then again, it's a Turner network, and Turner was all about wrestling.
Too.
So
yeah, that's a very
it's
good
tough
point.
To remember.
And it's so tough now because everything's accessible on the network. So like, unless you have the actual VHS of when you watched it, it's tough to remember.
Yeah, but you could if we went back and watched it, you could tell where the
no, of course
break comes.
If you oh yeah,
well, and they always had the line too, like, hey, if the match ends while we're in commercial, the tapes are rolling, we'll show it to you.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah. Good point.
They did. They said that.
They just say that all the time.
Yeah.
Dave, let me ask. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. How great is it, though, that Raw actually ends at 11 o'clock now?
I know. Isn't that great?
That blew my mind because I put it on at 11:05. I said, let me see the ending. And it was already over. I said, oh, my God, I forgot. Oh,
La Femme Nikita was on.
I missed that show.
Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings. They used to have a good program on USA.
Oh, God, it was a cesspool.
Well, no, back in the day, like in the TNT days, they had some of the best shows on. Like you said, Silk Stockings was on at that time. What was the old superhero guy that played videos?
Oh.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Got
he was on right after TNT.
After Nitro or after Raw?
No. I'm going back. TNT.
Tuesday Night Titans.
Going back in the 80s.
That's a little before my time.
Well, there was Up All Night. There was Billy Bob Briggs something or other. Was it Super Dave?
No, it wasn't Super Dave,
man.
There
were a bunch of shows.
Captain Video or some shit like that. He was on USA. He was like an old retired superhero, and he would just play movies and cartoons.
I don't remember this, but it sounds amazing.
That's a little bit before. I was like four.
Oh, that's right. I'm
sorry.
I keep forgetting I'm an old man.
No, you're...
Like, you could see I'm an old man because you see me.
We're not...
I don't see me.
I forget
how old I am.
Listen, I wasn't thinking of you when I said my age. Don't blame me. That's my parents.
No, but like when you're looking at me, you know I'm old.
No.
So you're like, Dave's talking about something back in his day.
Wait, you're not even 50 yet, right?
No, I'm not 50 yet.
Okay, so yeah, but we're pretty close in age.
But the thing is, though, we're so historically, like, adapt to wrestling that if it was a wrestling reference, like if you asked me, like, maybe what happened on a Tuesday Night Titans, I could tell you. What happened after Tuesday Night Titans, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because you probably had to go to bed.
That's right. Or you were
sneaking the TV in your room.
Or I was just, you know.
Night Flight was on USA, Radio 1990.
These are the shows I remember on before or after Raw. Pacific Blue.
Psych was one of the recent ones.
That's recent.
Ones,
I'm talking about like early 90s to mid 90s. Silk Stockings, obviously, because that was basically softcore porn. So you would set your VCR to like 10 minutes after Raw because the best scenes were always in the.
The opening when she's putting on the hosiery.
Yeah, the leg on bench.
Oh, wow. Talking about an old memory.
Pacific Blue was on before. I think Murder, She Wrote was on before some point.
Yep, I remember that.
Not Hunter.
MacGyver?
No, they
Chuck, reruns of MacGyver.
Chuck Norris was on there with Texas Ranger.
Xena Wart. No, she was Channel 11.
There was the guy that was the version of that.
Conan?
Renegade?
No, but it's along those lines. Ken Sorbo was the main guy.
Oh, Hercules.
Was it Hercules?
Was it Hercules?
I don't know. I got to look up Ken Sorbo now.
I think it was Hercules.
It was on before Raw.
It was all on around that time. It just kind of all melds together. Let me see. Ken
Nitro,
Sorbo.
I couldn't really tell you what was on before or after because it was either like Robin Hood or...
So what did you watch back in the day? Did you watch Raw and then tape Nitro or go back and forth? Or because I was a Nitro guy, so I watched Nitro and taped Raw.
Well, it was hard. Nitro, we had the luxury for the replay at some point. So I would watch Raw, tape the replay of Nitro. Actually, I would tape both because I had a VCR where you could switch the channel at some point, I think. Or after Raw was over, because you got to remember, at this time, Raw was over at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It was either 8 to 9.
When it first started, it was an hour.
Yeah, because prime time was 8 to 11. And then they changed it to Raw for 1 hour.
Prime time was 3 hours?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And then they changed it to 1 hour Raw, 9 to 11.
Well, 9 to 10.
9 to 10. 9 to 10. And then once Nitro came in the picture, I don't remember if they always had the replay.
Raw was at 8 and they went to 7:57 first? I remember 7:57.
That was Nitro.
Yeah, but Raw was from 8 to 9, wasn't it?
It started at 9. I'm telling you right now, it started at... No, prime time. I'm wrong. Prime time started at 9, 9 to 11, and Raw was 8 to 9. You're right.
Okay. Because then I remember when Nitro started doing 7:57. I would rarely tape either one. I know that if I missed stuff on Nitro, I could always catch the replay. You know, when that was around.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of flipping, man. I did a lot of flipping.
I flipped. But don't get me wrong. I had to, because I couldn't stay up late enough to watch the replay. So I'd have to wake up early in the morning before school and go to my rewind the tape all the way back to the beginning and watch Nitro in the morning before school and fast forward a little bit. And then when I got home, when I had more time, I watched it all the way
that
through.
It was such a great time, too.
Wasn't it? It was awesome. It was an awesome time.
And I don't think we'll ever have that again. Just the flipping back and forth kind of like, you know, wrestling moment. But I do hope that those great moments are going to come again, like somebody else makes a run for it. Like possibly this Young Bucks promotion.
Yeah, what's up with that? Is that bullshit? Is that real?
Right to the point.
Like,
I don't know, because they're talking about their signing talent already, or there might be some talent that...
Yeah, they have the trademarks already. They filed trademarks already.
And
so.
Apparently it's something to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars ownership.
His son.
Yeah, his son. Son's a big wrestling fan.
So there's money there.
So that's what I was saying for a while. I was like, all it takes is A, TV, and B, some billionaire owner who just wants to throw some money around, who happens to be a wrestling fan, and it could be something again. Maybe not like WWE, but it could be something successful.
Yeah, if it's something that gets guys exposure and it gets them more money, a steady paycheck, a steady job, there's nothing wrong with that, and it'll... You know, light a fire under WWE. Maybe we'll get some real competition.
Anything's possible, because 3 years ago, if anybody said that, you know, the NWA title would be defended in front of a sold out crowd of 11,000 people, you're nuts.
Exactly.
And the biggest thing is what we were talking about before. Never did you think there would be somebody playing the garden outside of the WWE ever. Yeah. I mean, back in the day when I used to go to NWA and AWA shows, they couldn't go close to the garden. The Meadowlands, they always did the Meadowlands. Yeah. WCW, they did the Meadowlands. They could never go to the garden.
Where were you? What is your first title of the Meadowlands? Are you Brendan? You go back to Brendan Byrne?
Yeah, I go back to Brendan Byrne.
So it was Brendan Byrne, then it was what?
Continental.
And then it was Izod. And then that was it, right?
Yeah, no, it was Brendan Byrne, and then for a little while it was just called the Meadowlands Arena.
Yeah,
and then it was Continental, and then it was
Izod. Yeah, because that's like my arena. That's where I would go for everything.
First wrestling show I saw was at that.
The Meadowlands. If not even for wrestling, for Seton Hall basketball, I'd go to every game there.
It's a shame that building is just sitting there now. It's a shame.
It hurts me. It kills me. I love that building.
I wonder if they're going to wind up doing anything with it when
American
Dream opens up, and maybe they could use it as a smaller venue for concerts or things like
that's
that.
That's what they keep hearing, is they're going to like cut it in half and be like, not physically cut it in half, but like make it into like a 5,000-seat arena as opposed to a 20,000-seat arena. 50,000.
That might work, like do a permanent stage setup where you can...
They have an arena inside the American Dream.
How big, though? Like,
it'll seat about 3,000 people.
Wow.
Maybe that's what they've been talking about, so maybe they are going to knock down.
I got to go.
Oh, that's right. You did the tour.
I did.
Is it impressive, or?
It's very, it's fucking big.
All my wife complains about is driving to and from work every day, because she works in Union City.
Yeah.
Taking Route 3. It's going to be a nightmare.
Well, let me ask you this, because I remember watching, like, the Jersey Network, like, couple years ago, and they were talking about how they wanted to get WrestleMania back to New Jersey.
You know,
and
it's going to be next April, right?
I do.
Oh my God.
You got to follow me here.
You know what?
Last time I'm here,
fuck
I was going to have Mark Henry call in today. Fuck you guys.
Really?
No. So, and they were saying that they wanted to have WrestleMania come back because their plan was to have all this done in time for WrestleMania 35. Is that possible?
Yeah.
That they, when I was there, they said that it should be done by around that time.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it will. Look, when I was there, I was like, there's no fucking way this is done in
eight
months.
Again, that property's been sitting there for over a decade.
But how bad is that going to be that you're getting WrestleMania and you couldn't get this done in time for WrestleMania?
It's bad that they didn't get it done 10 years ago when they were supposed to. You know what I'm saying?
Or when, you know, the Super Bowl was here. What a fucking debacle that was.
Yep. Yeah.
Was that bad? Was that bad here?
Yeah.
I mean, you would know better than I was.
I was there. We did a post show after the Super Bowl that got done at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oof.
And there were still people outside waiting to get on the train to get to Secaucus.
Oh, yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely.
Look, it doesn't surprise me. After 2 weeks ago, when we got like 6 inches of snow.
That was a nightmare.
And it took everybody fucking 6 hours to get home.
I drove in ways that I was very proud of in hindsight.
We're all Jersey guys, right? We're all Jersey guys here. And I love Jersey. I defend Jersey. You could understand why people that don't live in Jersey hate Jersey. It's a fucking embarrassment. I mean, we have the Super Bowl here. The place looks like hot garbage. And now WrestleMania is coming here, and the place looks like hot garbage.
And they're doing everything associated with WrestleMania in Manhattan.
Because where you get, if they had that done, right, you could have access there. You could have the Hall of Fame. You could do all that stuff. What are they going to do in Jersey?
That's what I mean. They could have even had the Meadowlands to do the Hall of Fame there, to do NXT there. They could have done a ton of stuff with
you guys went to the last WrestleMania here, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to fucking Access?
No, we did WrestleCon.
Yeah, we were at WrestleCon.
Okay. All right. So they had Access in the arena. It was in. They had it.
Yes, I do like remember seeing
in the like in the corridor of the Meadowlands. It was a disaster.
That's a tiny corridor.
It was a disaster.
So now, where did they confirm? Did they confirm Access location yet, or at least WrestleCon?
I thought WrestleCon was going to be at the
Midtown somewhere.
The
Sheridan.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Hilton. It's like right on like 52nd or something. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice hotel. I've been there. I've actually stayed there.
But that's going to be a pain to get to, too.
Everything's going to be a pain.
Especially if we want a table or something.
Yeah, trains
like that
to Midtown. And plus, like, 42nd Street is where all the major hubs are. You still got to go up north from there to get to where this place is.
Well, the worst part about it is everything's going to be at the Barclays. Hall of Fame's going to be at the Barclays. Raw, SmackDown's going to be at the Barclays.
What do you think at the Barclays? I've only been there once. I mean, the building is impressive. I just wasn't impressed with how things are done there.
I loved the Barclays. I mean, I know you asked Dave, but I loved it the few times I was there.
I hated it at first. I kind of fell in love with it the last couple of times I went there because I made the mistake of driving there the first couple of times I went, and that's a nightmare. But if you take mass transit and you take the subway, it's extremely easy. I'm starting to like that building a lot more.
I do like the neighborhood. I do like the neighborhood there. There's
cool.
Like some great places to go, bars, you know.
Yeah, we've done our pre-shows out there.
Right.
McMahon's, we did it. We did it at the King's Beer Hall this past time. Both places are great. Yeah, the neighborhood's awesome. I'm really starting to fall in love with that area in Barclays.
Was McMahon's the place we went to?
Yes, before the Something to Wrestle show.
That was a weird
combination. So you go to the Something to Wrestle show, but you haven't been to any of my shows?
But this was like, how long ago was this?
No, it was about a year ago.
Was only a year ago?
Yeah, it was last January.
Yes, the answer to that question is yes.
Wow. We did. That's rough.
Yeah, we're a rough crew.
No, it's a schedule.
Oh, it has nothing to do with Dave. The summer, I'm fucked in the summer. I can't do anything in the summer.
Yeah.
Because I work. Barely on I work the show every day, especially the weekends, with the food truck.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
I can't do anything.
And he motivates the rest of us. So if he's not in, we're really not in.
Yeah, but you don't have to. You just come and hang out.
Yeah.
Is it that tough?
It's tough for me to get here. From
like you
West
guys
Orange.
Are saying now, you're gonna go, but you ain't gonna go.
To
like
what?
You said, you're gonna. Oh yeah, we're gonna go. 10-year anniversary. It sounds great. And then the day's gonna come, and you're gonna be sitting on your ass on the couch. You're like, ah, fuck it.
Absolutely
fuck
not.
Fuck with Greg. He didn't get Mark Henry last time he was here.
No, I mean
fuck
I can't.
Him. Well, that's a different fuck him. You know,
okay,
that'll be
okay,
a whole.
Yeah,
we'll
you.
Be there for the 10th anniversary.
All right, cool. I hope you guys come.
Who do you want us to bring for the 10th anniversary?
Mark just Henry, come. You idiot.
No, can we us. Come?
I know that was.
Can
the
we bring a pie?
Like you don't know. It's going to be at a bar. Food there. Just come.
So they're not going to let us bring a cake.
Bring the pizza
you
truck.
You could probably bring a cake.
Bring the pizza truck. Fuck. Drive the pizza truck
awesome.
In the city. What's wrong
with
you?
I'd be like the Shining Wizards guy. Listen, Shining
Woo!
Wizards,
there you go.
You know, don't watch SmackDown. Listen to their show.
Well, we only got like another year, right?
Another year until SmackDown moves
right,
to the old
Friday, right?
Foxy.
And if we're all still alive, we'll be good.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Why, are you planning on dying anytime?
I mean, who knows?
There's no guarantee.
I woke up the other day and my hands just hurt.
Like, stop jerking off before you go to sleep.
Oh boy!
Not both. I don't use both hands. Come on, I'm not that talented. They just hurt. Like I'm a couple days into being 37 and my hands just hurt. Today they feel good.
You hear the old man over here?
37. He's so young,
right?
Virile, strapping young man.
Thank you. I feel good. Very vascular. Not really, but. What are you going to do? Let me ask you, Dave. We had this conversation a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago.
One of the past.
Do you remember your first independent wrestling show? or were you strictly like a WCW, WWF guy? Or did you go to like some weird high school gym where like Tito Santana was wrestling, like in between being Tito and El Matador?
Well, I've been going to see wrestling live since, you know, the early 80s. So the WWF used to have spot shows. So I would go to William Patterson College to see WWF. I would go to Ice World in Totowa to see WWF. So that's kind of like, you know, now you would go and see independent shows there. But I used to go back in the day in like, you know, 500-seat places. I would go see WWF.
That's wild.
I went to the Menin Arena. In Mendham, ice skating rink.
The Menin.
Yeah. They would do shows in like the early to mid-90s there all the time, and it was amazing.
Oh, we looked something up a couple weeks ago, and Ring of Honor had a show there in like 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to see Ring of Honor. I used to go to, in the city, the Basketball City. I used to go to Basketball City, where they would have like those open courts where you could go and play. They used to do shows back there, back like in 2003, 2002, 2003, 2004. I used to go there to see Ring
And they
of
used
Honor.
To run the CYO Center in Trenton all the time too, right?
Yeah.
And Elizabeth.
Right? I used to go to Elizabeth too, see the shows.
How about the Armories? Were they still running the Armories in the 80s? Because I know when my father was a kid, you know, like he used to wind up going to, I want to say the Teaneck Armory.
Yeah, they used to they would do that, and I would say probably till about like 84.
Okay, it's weird how things have changed, right?
But yeah, they would have the Meadowlands every month. They'd be at the Meadowlands. So I go see them at the Meadowlands,
The Spectrum and the Garden.
Yeah, they used to just go and rotate, but they used to have those spot shows. So my dad would take me to the William Patterson Rec Center all the time to see wrestling. It would be like 2 hours long, and the main event would be like Jake the Snake Roberts against Billy Jack Haynes. That would be like the main event.
Main event in any arena in the country.
I'll take it. It's better than what's on TV now. I don't like the WWE.
It really bummed
product.
Me out watching that. Like, I was actually getting angry watching it.
I get depressed because I know I got to come on the air and talk about it for 3 hours the next day. Like, I've been really depressed because you saw Starrcade on Sunday, which was fucking awful.
Now, I had no idea that was even happening until Kevin texted us. He's like, "You watching Starrcade?" I'm like, "What?"
It was bullshit. First of all, it wasn't live. It was taped from the night before, and they only played an hour of it.
Yeah. It's like, why bother?
And it was awful.
Yeah.
And then you watch a 3-hour Raw, and that's awful. So right. It's like 4 hours of just putrid wrestling.
It's amazing to know that NXT is under the WWE umbrella.
Yep.
And everybody's
so good.
It really is. It's
so good.
Even I could sit through, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the time. I'm more interested in 205 Live.
205 Live's been great as well.
Raw is just we've been trying for the last couple months to not be negative about the WWE product. Cuz that does drive me nuts especially on social media with people who are like all they do is shit on it. It's hard when you give us a show like you did last night.
Last night was just like, you can't say anything positive about what happened last night.
I guess it's can only get better from there.
It reminds me of, because I'm trying to think of when, you know, certain wrestling shows and stuff that were really, really bad. It reminds me of like the AWA in like 1990. Like, I was still watching AWA. It was on ESPN.
Right.
Like, that was really bad.
What'd they do? That stupid thing that
you weren't excited that Jake the Milkman was going for the turkey?
Jake the Milkman Milliman?
Yes. He not only got the turkey, but he also won the final battle royal that won for his team, right?
That's right.
Ugh. See?
All those years of being a jobber, and they finally got him over at the end.
You did see the prototype, whatever you call it, the pilot for that attempt at what they were doing with the Team Challenge Series.
Oh, my God.
Come on, it was great though in a disastrous way with the green screens and the guys coming out and the ladies in the bar getting up from her chicken wings yelling and stuff.
Yeah, it's good in a really, really bad way.
Vern Gagne and Foxy Boxing are two things that should have never have gone together.
But you look at it now and it's good because it was, but back then it was just bad.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Jerry Lynn was on that show.
Was he really?
Jerry Lynn was in the tag match against the Destruction Crew. I forget who his partner was. It was another young fella.
Shout out to Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck, Front Row Material Podcast, ECW
really?
Podcast. Why not?
It's our 400th episode. Why don't you plug in us?
Because we're doing this show.
All right, so I'll do it now. You're listening live on rantemradio.com. Hopefully you're tuning in on the TuneIn app. We are, of course, celebrating 7 years and our 400th episode with SiriusXM Busted Open's own Dave LaGreca, of Amazing. Course. Do you guys want to take a quick break? We'll do a few minutes, or should we keep rolling?
Let me ask. We touched about the old arena thing real quick.
Right, don't answer the question. Just plow through.
Did you ever see WCW at the Meadowlands?
Yes.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's basically all I wanted to know.
Because I was there in that snowstorm with Flair against Sting when Flair won the title back.
Oh, our buddy Phil Rea was there.
So you were there for that one. There was another one that I was there for. It was a cage match, and I always thought that this was the title change. But it wasn't. It was 1991 or 92. It was Flair, Sting, Cage. Elegante was supposed to be the special guest referee.
Yes.
And then before we even got to the ring, it could have been Tully. It could have been Arn. They came down and they beat him up. They took him to the back. And it was just a match. And we left like right when I thought I saw a roll up of a title change. But I was like, again, like 6 years old.
Yeah, I think it only changed one time.
I think it was 92. Was it 92?
I found one July 3rd, 1991, and the main event was a War Games, El Gigante, Luger, Sting, and the Yellow Dog.
That doesn't sound like
that's not at all what I saw. All
right.
But I remember seeing Pillman versus Sid Vicious, and we had really low seats because it really wasn't hard to get WCW tickets in New Jersey, I'm guessing. But then like I couldn't see anything, so we actually went up to the upper deck and loved it.
Isn't that weird, though, that the NWA, well, WCW, I guess,
gave us the
title change, and then the AWA gave us the title change?
I remember being at that, because I remember my buddy didn't want to go, because you never saw title changes at the Meadowlands. You never got, for WWF shows, you never got Howard Finkel. You always got Gary Michael Capetta. No disrespect to Gary Michael Capetta. I love him.
Love
but you
Gary.
Didn't get Finkel. You got Gary Michael Capetta. And then with the NWA and AWA shows, those Pro Wrestling USA shows, and even WWF, you never got title change. Never, there was never a title change. And I remember my buddy not wanting to go. We finally went, and you saw Stan Hansen beat Rick Martel for the AWA championship. And I thought that was like, oh, my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And he quit. He submitted to Stan Hansen. To the Boston Crab, yeah.
I loved it. Like, if there was like a heel champion, you wouldn't get the title change, but then at the end of the night, you get the battle royal where the baby face would win the battle royal, and that's how you got sent home happy. Because, like, the title match was like before intermission, and then you have a couple matches, and you get the battle royal where Hulk Hogan would win.
But that was classic.
Or Hacksaw
booking.
Would win.
You put the main event before intermission because then when you're coming back, Howard Finkel or whoever would get in the ring and give you the rundown for the next show.
Yeah.
So if the heel walked out with the title under dubious circumstances, we're coming back for a lumberjack match. It's not going to be cheating next time.
Loved it.
They did that with Valentine and Santana throughout the horn. They had lumberjack matches. They finally blew it off in the cage match.
I remember they did that with George the Animal Steele and Danny Davis were having a feud. and Gary Michael Capetta comes out and he goes, next month, you know, George the Animal Steele and Danny Davis in a cage. And I was like, Dad, we got to get tickets for that. And it wound up being probably the worst wrestling show I've ever seen.
Is it bad that I never realized Gary Michael Capetta worked for WWE?
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes they use the local talent, right? Like, that's what they used to do in the 80s.
He worked not only for the WWF, but the WWWF.
Wow.
There you go.
There it is.
He worked, the first thing, he worked for WWF, then WWF. He left WWF in 84 and then went to work for AWA and then went to WCW.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a lesson right there, because I just know Gary Michael Capetta from WCW days, unless I'm just not paying attention.
Well, there you go.
Beautiful.
We'll take a quick break.
Yep.
We are in studio with Dave LaGreca celebrating 7 years, celebrating episode 400. When we come back, more wrestling talk.
Woo!
Back after this.
Tony here.
Sorry, always wanted to do that, even though I wind up doing that every week. But guys, you know, the holidays are just around the corner. Christmas time, Hanukkah time, Kwanzaa time, whatever time. You're going to be doing your online shopping through Amazon. Why not do it through us? Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner. And when you shop, we get a little bit of the cut that Amazon would normally take. Now, you're not paying anything extra, but their profits get a little bit into our pockets. And we keep this gravy train rolling. So this year, when Santa's coming down the chimney and you're not getting credit for what you bought, you can have a smile on your face when you realize that your purchases help to support the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
You're on.
We're back.
What a selection, Tony.
You like that, right?
I do love this song. You know, they're going to be moving to, I believe, Louisville, Kentucky anytime now, the Rougeau Brothers. You remember that gimmick?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, always. I thought they were moving to Memphis.
Oh, Memphis, that's what it was.
That was it. What do we know about Memphis?
Oh, I'm the king. Hold on, I'm the king. Hold on, I'm the king of Memphis, Tennessee. 7 years.
All we want to listen to is Barry Manilow.
Oh, my God. I was doing a seven-year anniversary tag.
I don't care. I'm singing. It's the Rougeaus.
Right.
Easy, ladies. We're back.
Episode 400, Dave LaGreca in studio from Busted Open.
Woo!
At David LaGreca 1 on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
If you don't have SiriusXM, Dave is very active on Twitter, as is Busted Open, at Busted Open Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 93, Fight Nation,
Fight Nation.
Through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, they're all rotating in and out every day. Alex Metz is the producer.
Yep, Alex Metz.
And he does a great job. We've met Alex at a couple Ring of Honor shows with Dave. They do an awesome job. If you're looking for something to listen to in terms of wrestling, and you have SiriusXM, Channel 93 every morning.
It's your daily dose, baby.
And if you don't have SiriusXM, you can catch all our interviews on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/BustedOpenNation.
Do you guys have, like, or do you have, like, a dream guest that you haven't had a chance to get yet? A bucket list.
Who haven't they talked to?
Talked to everybody.
Well, one was just Phil because I had Bob Roop on. We had Tommy Dreamer and I had Bob Roop Appreciation Day, and he wound up calling in 5 minutes after the show ended. But we got him in. We got him on a couple weeks ago. Thunderbolt. I would love to get Thunderbolt Patterson on.
Wow,
never had Thunderbolt Patterson.
Yeah.
Love to get him. Never had Ronnie Garvin. I'd love to get Ronnie Garvin on the show. Man with the Hand in Stone.
Rugged God. Ronnie.
You know, there's the obvious ones like Undertaker. Never been able to speak to the Undertaker.
Oh, we can help you get that if you need it.
No. Please, if you can.
He's dead. He doesn't talk.
Who is the most like?
Though we did have his wife on, and I asked, "What's it like living with a dead man?" I actually did ask
question. Michelle or Sarah?
Oh,
Michelle.
Oh,
okay, no, you never know. Sarah was in the news. Like she was a part of the show. You know.
Now see. you got to use Michelle to get to the Undertaker.
Ah. Yeah, and then she started following me on Twitter right after. See, that's how you get the relationship going.
All right, who is, like, who were you most blown away by someone that followed you on Twitter? Or Instagram or any social media. You don't have an Instagram, do you?
I just started an Instagram account, but I don't know how to do it. I, honest to God, I need help.
Fair
enough. I don't know how to do the Instagram.
So do I.
I'm terrible at it.
So who were you most blown away when you saw the notification that someone followed you?
Paige is a good one.
Paige, yeah.
Michael Sweet from Striper.
Nice.
That's a good one.
It's nice that he throw a Bible at you through your DMs.
No, he didn't.
What a fucking gimmick they had in
the
80s.
That was a great gimmick. Great gimmick. I saw them at the Capitol Theater in Passaic.
Wow. Like recently or in the 80s?
What's that?
Like recently or in the 80s? Oh, okay. Did you get hit with a Bible?
I did not get hit with the Bible. And I didn't get a Bible. I tried, but I couldn't get a Bible. God, that's a good question. Who follows me? You know what? Let me look.
Go for it, my
man. Because maybe there's somebody that I haven't like noticed.
You got sometimes you just scroll through your followers and I see someone with that check mark and I'm just like, ah.
Hey, do you remember that time one of us thought WWE started following
us?
Yeah,
that was you. You stupid.
That wasn't me.
Who was it?
It was you.
All right, let me ask you. Are you asking the show Busted Open or me personally?
You personally.
Okay.
This is about Dave LaGreca, ladies and gentlemen.
Austin Aries just started following me today.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Love Austin Aries.
Mean Gene Okerlund follows me. Who knew?
Doesn't get much better than that. And you know, like, there's some, like, celebrity accounts that just follow everyone that follows them. These aren't those kind of accounts.
Beth Phoenix follows me.
Hall of Famer.
Cody Rhodes. And Cody's icon picture is his picture when he was a guest on Busted Open.
Was that Hangman?
Hangman Page, yeah, nobody cares.
Really?
Oh, you got a heat with Hangman?
No, actually, it's completely the opposite. I love Hangman Page. It was just being a dick. Out with you guys just makes me a dick. I don't know.
Well, because
that sounds about right.
That's how we are.
If I had known you had a connection to Cody, I would have gone after that.
Instead of Mark Henry.
Just because he follows me on Twitter doesn't mean, like, you know, we're...
I've been chasing that on the phone. Chasing that Cody. People still talk on the phone, huh?
You know what I'm disappointed about?
I don't think so.
No. I always hated talking on the phone.
Me too.
And it just gets worse.
I love it. I hate texting.
Really?
If somebody texts me, I always hit it and call them. I hate texting.
Because
right, I'm always, like, driving. It always feels like I'm behind the wheel of the car. I just call.
I need to start checking my Twitter more often. I have people follow me. I have no idea who
nobody,
they are.
See, nobody cares about you, though.
You should care about me.
No, not really.
Uh-oh. Not really.
Dave, do you ever collect wrestling figures?
I never was a big collector of the figures, but I have all the original figures.
The LJNs?
I have a great story.
Oh.
Are any of you guys... Do you guys follow football? Are you a football
fan? Yes, diehard football fans.
All right, what are your teams?
Jets.
Dolphins.
Giants.
All right, Giants. So David Deal from the Giants, as a wedding gift, gave me all the original series of the WWF, like those hard rubber
LJNs.
LJNs.
Yeah, I got them all. I got all the originals.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty hefty collection there. Because that's... Oof. I mean, we're diehard collectors. I collect LJNs. We're restarting our Hasbro collections, which were those that we've seen, the Skinner and the Giant Gonzalez. Right there. So we're starting to collect. Matt, go ahead with your actual... Did you have a question or was that it?
That was my question.
Oh. So who was your, like... Did you have, like... Do you have them displayed? Do you have them...
Nah, they're, like, in a box. Like, there's a couple I have on display, but most of them are in the box. Because I just don't have any place to put them.
That's what it comes down to with hoarders.
With you doing the show and meeting all these people, do you collect, like, wrestling memorabilia?
I am obsessed with wrestling magazines.
Okay.
Obsessed.
I like that.
Like, I still have all my wrestling magazines from when I was a kid.
Nice.
That's awesome.
and I, Japan. I'm obsessed with wrestling magazines.
See, that's what's fun for me is like I always like to ask people what like the first magazine. Like everyone asks, like what was the first wrestling match you ever saw, which is pretty much impossible to answer. But like you always kind of remember your first magazine or your first action figure. Do you remember? Do you have a recollection of what your first wrestling magazine that you remember having?
Yes. It's a Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I still have it. It's a Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Tommy Rich on the cover.
Wildfire.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I'm not boring you with this.
No, absolutely not. We wouldn't ask the question.
When I first started watching wrestling, I only watched Georgia Championship Wrestling. I didn't watch anything else because I went by my buddy's house. This is like 82.
Yeah, where were you living? Were you getting Georgia Championship? Oh, TBS.
On TBS.
Yeah, TBS. Yeah.
So I went by my buddy's house on a Saturday, and he was watching Georgia Championship Wrestling, and he's like, do you watch wrestling? I said, no. And he goes, oh, you got to watch wrestling. It's the best. And I go, and I knew a little bit about it, but I never watched it. And I go, is this with, you know, Bob Backlund? He goes, no, Bob Backlund sucks. He goes, that's the WWF. That's fake. WWF is fake. You got to watch the NWA. That's real. You got to watch Georgia Championship Wrestling. So from that moment on, I watched Georgia Championship Wrestling. So I went to a store. There's a Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Tommy Rich on the cover. I buy it. I'm reading the magazine, and there's a picture of Jimmy Superfly Snuka in the magazine on top of the cage against Backlund with the blood, the iconic picture of him on top of the cage. And I was like, and that's when I was like, all right, I got to start. And that's when I started watching WWF. And then because of the magazines, I got into, and back in the day on cable TV, you got everything. I watched WWF. I watched Georgia. I watched Florida. I watched Polynesian Pacific Championship Wrestling. Wow, I watched the AWA. I watched everything. World Class. Everything.
Yeah, I remember seeing World Class like in my family's house down in South Jersey. I'm like, what is this wrestling? This isn't WWF. It's World Class Championship Wrestling. Kerry Von Erich and freaking Freebirds and Kamala.
Mark out moment for me at the WrestleMania in Texas. I'm interviewing Bobby Fish.
Oh, I love Bobby Fish.
And I see David Manning. Do you guys know who David Manning is? Mm-hmm. I see him in the distance. I ended the interview with Bobby Fish. And like, I was like, there's David Manning. And Bobby Fish is like, who? I'm like, David Manning. He had no idea. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just lost all respect for you. And I just ran to David Manning. I took a picture of that. I still have it on my phone. Like, those are the guys that like, when I see those, that's awesome.
100%, and it's so weird, like how like you just like think of things that come back to you in your youth or even in your adulthood about professional wrestling. So you remember your first magazine? Do you remember the first pro wrestler that you were like, "That's my guy"?
Tommy Rich.
Oh, it was Tommy Rich
because it was that show. The first time I watched it, my first remembrance of watching pro wrestling is Gordon Solie interviewing Tommy Rich. So when I was just watching Georgia, Tommy Rich was my guy. And then, like I told you, I saw the Jimmy Snuka picture. And Jimmy Snuka was my guy. I was a member of the fan club and everything.
Oh, wow.
Was it Tommy Rich that we interviewed that still follows the product?
No, Tracy Smothers.
Tracy Smothers, yeah, that was it.
And then it was then Flair. And then since that moment when I fell in love with Flair, that's it. Like, it's just been Flair ever since.
It's a wrap. That's it. Can't get much better than Flair.
Well, Tommy Rich.
Tommy Rich is awesome. He's Wildfire.
And Tommy Dreamer makes fun of me because we had Tommy Rich on because that's one of those guys that was on my bucket list. And I was seriously like shaking. Like my hands were shaking. Tommy Rich still makes fun of me every day.
Oh, we talked to him like old hat, you know, Tommy Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was like, oh my God, like Tommy Rich. Like it's that's the first guy I ever saw wrestle, you know?
No, absolutely. I've told the story before when we did the birthday thing for Eddie and Vader. I booked Vader and he like wanted to talk and I called and I had like a 25-minute conversation.
Awesome.
And I'm like standing
awesome.
In my living room like, what am I do? Why am I like just that last year for Christmas? I had Mick Foley read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
As like a special. So here I am in my living room with all the recording stuff set up and it's just me and Mick Foley and I'm sitting by my Christmas tree. And it's just like, how?
Like, how do we get to do what we do? How do you get to do what you do?
It's just.
I had that moment last week when I called Bobby Fulton. He's like, call me the day before just to remind me and let me know what's up.
It's crazy.
Mr. Fulton, how are you?
Do you ever pinch yourself? Do you ever have that pinch yourself moment?
Yeah, there was the early October. You know, I become really good friends with, you know, Nita Strauss, who's the guitarist for Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper's my all-time favorite, like, rock.
Yeah.
You know, been a fan of his for, you know, over 30 years. And I was on the side of the stage watching Alice Cooper with Mick Foley. So it's like I'm hanging out with Mick Foley watching Alice Cooper, which that was like that's like I got to pinch myself type of moment.
It's unbelievable.
And then, and Mick Foley actually whispered in my ear. He goes, "How great is this? This is like being a kid again." And I was like, "You have no idea.
Like right?
This
is amazing. Twofold for you."
Yeah, like yeah. I'm hanging out with Mick Foley and watching Alice Cooper. That's like something you dream about when you're a kid, you know? So
now you get to do it all. You did Starcast. And you did the Jericho Cruise.
Yeah.
How was that for you? I mean, it's got to be a wrestling dream, right?
Well, Starcast was great. I did the show with Bully, and Conrad did a great job of getting us some awesome guests. We had Cody, we had Hangman Page, we had DDP, Road Warrior Animal. That's another thing. Like the Road Warriors, like, you know, I love the Road Warriors, and a lot of Nation members showed up. We had, you know, close to 500 fans show up at Starcast for our show. And it was early in the morning, you know, it was, you know, 8 to 11 o'clock in the morning. So that was like an awesome moment. That's like, I still love doing these live shows and having fans show. And then, the Jericho Cruise was just amazing. You know, Jericho has been a big supporter of the show for years now. And having, you know, him invite me to the cruise and, you know, bringing my wife and making it almost like a vacation and doing a show. I did the show with Sammy Callahan, and that was tremendous. It was awesome.
We've done a few live shows in our...
Oh, God, it was brutal.
Which one was worse, the one in Garwood or the one at West Orange?
Probably, that's a toss-up.
I'd say Garwood.
I'd say West Orange only because...
We pulled a rib on Kevin. Kevin went to use a little boy's room, and one of his buddies, Big Rich from Jersey, one of his fellow comics, brought the equipment. So he was hanging out with us, setting up stuff with us. So we said, "All right, Kevin's in the bathroom. Get up, pretend you're finishing your set, and then announce Kevin. Bring him to the stage." Well, Kevin was in no mood to be called to the stage, even though he had 60 or 70 adoring fans chanting his name, and he got quite angry with us.
Yeah, because I wasn't prepared to do comedy. I've actually, you mentioned Mick Foley. I've worked with Mick Foley twice doing stand-up comedy.
Kevin's dropping awesome. Names again. Yeah.
This is what it's going to be. That's what it comes back down
That's
to.
That's awesome.
You're going to get me hot again.
But I think in West Orange, it was all wrestling fans. When we did that thing in Garwood, and it was the comedy show, there may have been like a handful of wrestling fans there.
Yeah.
So it was really awkward.
But we really didn't play to the crowd either. We just kind of sat on stage talking amongst ourselves, and everybody was eavesdropping.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah,
so, yeah. We have to. I thought I think the Egan's show, the live fifth anniversary show or fourth. What was it? Fourth or fifth?
Fifth.
I thought that was better just because the turnout
was fun.
Was
it
all
was
of
fun.
Our friends?
It was nice to have people there. Yeah. You know, yeah.
And it was packed, so that was cool. But oof, I got hot.
We might have to take another stab at that.
I'd do it. We could do it.
So you mentioned like Vader and Foley. What about you guys? Have you had that moment where you're like, wow, this is like, I can't believe this is happening?
It's got to be. They're on there. We've had so many. It's insane. Like, I'm surprised in the 7 years that we've been doing this. Like, we first started, like, who was like the big, like, I came in a year in. Who was the biggest guest that you guys had before me?
Maybe
Just Incredible, maybe
Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy was in our first year. Yeah, and that Matt. Was when he was doing the Stronger Than Death gimmick.
When he was doing Extreme Rising.
Yes. Just Incredible. We met him during our first year.
And then just it's been a plethora. Like you mentioned, Road Warrior and Jeff Jarrett has been amazing to us.
Oh, Jeff Jarrett does the show like every other week at this point. Super cool guy. Crazy.
I love Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett's unbelievable. We had Lance Storm, which was huge for me because I'm a big Calgary wrestling fan. I love
cool.
the Hearts.
Very
I love
cool.
Even this past couple of weeks, Jerry Lynn, Mikey Whipwreck. I'm a big Curt Hawkins mark, so that was huge having him in studio sitting
right, yeah.
right here. It's so
hard.
It's been hundreds.
I know the bucket list is is the big guys. It's
Bret Hart,
Bret, it's Austin.
Oh, we Flair. Were this close to getting Steve Austin when he was promoting the
Broken Skull Ranch
on CMT.
Yeah. We were this close, and at the last minute, it just didn't work out. Jericho happened.
Like, that's right. You guys had Jericho on the talk when Fozzy was coming to town,
yes,
right?
Yeah, Dingbats, yeah.
And we had him after that too.
Yeah we twice. Got Jericho twice.
Yeah, Jericho's an awesome dude.
We've never had a problem with a guest.
Yeah,
which never, is... and we've had like. Probably like 200 guests.
I'd say more than 200.
Yeah, we've never had like any issues with it. It's funny because you hear all like the rumors and the rumblings in the wrestling community about this guy's a prick and this guy's this and this and that. And
we've never had a problem dealing with them personally. I mean, we've had a couple guys call late or like
yeah, but that's not the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world at all. Like when we called Brian Kendrick was supposed to call, and he was sleeping on it. He was taking a nap or something. That was funny. Again, it's amazing. Just like even like the indie guys, we love having too. It's just so much fun to do. Joey Janela has been a 2-time guest who's now extremely successful.
Yeah,
and amazing.
He's big right now.
So he's a friend who we consider.
That's the other thing. Like you look back at names that we've had on, guys like Jocka. We had him on. Chris Dickinson. Those guys blew up.
Former Evolve Tag Team Champions.
EYFBO. Those guys came in just before they popped as LAX in Impact. Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
Drew Gulak was winning his first championship with CZW when we had him down. You know?
It's something that we definitely don't take lightly at all. That we get to meet a lot of these guys. Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat was huge. Not only having him on the podcast for an interview, but spending the entire day with him. At Legends.
One of our Twitter followers thinks he found the PWI issue. Was it September 82?
Yep, September of 82.
Tommy Rich has, I want to say, I don't know who in a headlock, but then in...
Yeah, he's down like on one knee.
Yeah, yep, then in the box it has Snuka beating up Backlund.
That's it, man.
True Prince of Fro coming through again.
Oh, that's like our stat guy. Like,
Did he tweet it at me too? Because I'll retweet it.
No, but he's listening. He'll definitely tweet it at you.
Like, you know how like every show has like a producer or a stat guy, if you will. He is our go-to. Anytime we're like, we're not sure about something, we're like, hey, True Prince of Pro, because we know he's listening live. He'll get back to us in 2 seconds with
that's
the right
answer. That's it, dude. I it's been a while since I looked at it, but I remember he had the headlock. He's down on one knee with the headlock. I got to take a look at it, man, if he tweets it my way.
Oh, he will.
He definitely will.
He will.
At David LaGreca 1 on the Twitter machine.
Love those.
So getting back to the Jericho cruise, what was like, you kind of forged a relationship with good old, I mean, you may have already had it. A lot of stuff came from it. The good old JR.
Yeah, Jim Ross has been a big supporter of the show too. He always and I'm so appreciative of it. He always mentions the show on his podcast, which is great. So I always try to mention the Jim Ross Report on my show. And you know, I got him to autograph my book, and that was like a big. I mean, here's, you know, it's Jim Ross, man. It's like a guy you grew up listening to, you know, and you know, for him to call me a friend, and you know, me and my wife were up in his suite because and to be a guest on his show, you know, that's like a thrill to me now. Like, I've been on Talk Is Jericho twice now. Wow. I've been on JR's show. I'm still waiting for the Stone Cold invite, but we'll see how that comes out. But awesome.
You're not an indie darling, so that might not come soon.
And you were also at the Hardy compound.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rebby and I have been friends for years. So, you know, I was at her wedding and everything else. She's been a friend long before she
But you were on TV. I don't know if you were here. Did we talk about it last time Dave was here? Maybe it was after that.
I don't remember.
When Dave was tied up in the chair being questioned.
Oh, with the deletion?
Yes.
Again, deleted. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty wild.
That
man.
Was good times.
Yeah,
like,
that was at the Hardy compound. That was my wife and my daughter. We were all on vacation. We drove past there, so we stopped over there and spent the night there. And in the morning of, Matt had the great idea of deleting me. So
how sick is that? You're driving by. It's like, yeah, we spent the night at Matt Hardy's compound.
It's awesome.
It's unbelievable.
You can still go to YouTube. It's on YouTube. Me getting deleted.
But you clearly have not been deleted.
Well, no. It changed my life, though.
It
scarred me both physically and emotionally.
He's woken.
Yeah, I'll never be the same man.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't have as much gray last time. Like, did he like?
Oh, because
you
no,
know,
Matt's, gray.
Matt's got the gray.
I'm scared the shit out of
him. I got the Matt Hardy gray streak going.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, a little bit, man. I'm getting there. Gray, dude. How old are you?
35.
Dear Lord. Young kids, I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. You guys are young.
That's the real tragedy.
We're not that young.
You're in your 30s. You're in your mid-30s. I'm going to be 50.
Ah. You guys are still young.
You don't look a day over 36.
Yeah. Hey, you look good.
Listen, we're telling you.
Nah.
I don't know.
You don't have to lie, dude.
If I look like you when I'm 50, I'll be blessed, man.
Oh, thanks, brother.
I'm growing like
still
this.
Not getting Mark Henry on.
Huh? And you're still not getting Austin's podcast.
Hello. Hey-o.
Now, if you had to choose between your three co-hosts to just do the show with just one of them.
Gonna get him heat.
Whoa, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I'm not looking to cause trouble. It's just curious. Is there one that you feel like you said, Tommy Dreamer, you and him are like super fans. Is there one you feel like you have more chemistry with than the others?
Yeah. They're so unique and different. I couldn't answer that question. And I'm not being a dick. It's the truth. I love working with them, all three of them, for different reasons.
And let me ask you this, because this is something that I kind of forgot about. You have the relationship with these guys who obviously still have a relationship with WWE. And needless to say, you're critical of the product when you feel like it's necessary and you're not when it's not necessary. Has that ever gotten you any sort of, hey, man, don't say this, or hey, man, don't say that?
Never. They've never asked me to tone down like anything I say on the air ever.
So what you say is the God's honest truth, obviously, and no one either, whether it's one of your co-hosts or because you were at the Hall of Fame, you have a lot of connections with all these guys now. It's never been an issue?
Never. I've never and I've interviewed Triple H. I've interviewed Vince McMahon, and not once did he, you know, and I have a pretty good relationship with the PR staff with the WWE. They've never said, hey, Dave, can you tone it down? As a matter of fact, even like with TNA back in the day, I was extremely critical with TNA, and they were like, Dixie Carter. I mean, Dixie Carter told me like, Dave, God, you're so critical. But she never said like, could you please stop being as critical as you are?
And that's kind of something new now, because even on WWE's, conference calls now, they welcome like the guys from like PW Insider.
Yep, they do.
Or you guys. And so it's like, it's been a whole kind of shift in how they operate in terms of that, where before we're like, we don't deal with these guys, we don't deal with it. Is it just the progression of how media in general is, or is it just like, we just can't, they're not going away, so we have to talk to them?
I think it's the latter. I think it's just like, this isn't going away, this is getting bigger and bigger. And like when Busted Open first started on Sirius XM, you know, and I love Sam, I have a great relationship, but they always were kind of like, well, Sam's our guy at Sirius, so like when we bring talent in and guests, we give it to Sam. And Sam is, you know, looks at the WWE a little bit differently, obviously, than I do. But I think because of the popularity of the show, they can't help but like get involved. And you're right, like PW Insider, ProWrestling.net, Wrestling Inc., all these websites have gotten big. Like it's this is your audience. That's their audience now. So I think they have to do it. Triple H has done a tremendous job with that. Triple H has those conference calls after every takeover.
Yeah.
And he loves like the Mike Johnsons and you know, and guys like me to be involved in it. Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated, they welcome that.
You know, we're on the Impact media list. We get the invites for their phone calls.
We do.
We got to get on those calls for WWE.
We're all we'll work on it.
You know what you guys got to work on? Getting on Radio Row for WrestleMania. Like, that's got to be your goal, because I think once you can do that, everything else will fall into place.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it's a great idea. It's just that it's probably easier said than done.
We know people.
We can't get fucking Mark Henry on the show.
Wait, you think we're going to get on Radio Row?
No, you guys were talking about guests that we had.
He wouldn't have said it if he didn't think it was possible.
No, I'm just busting balls.
I know.
I know, Kev. Serious Kevin over
there.
Calm
I got
down.
Serious because when
episode,
someone says something
down.
Like that.
This is who they got for my birthday show. I spoke to them all on the same night.
Oh, boy.
Tracy Smothers, Sonny Ono, Dave Milliken, Eric Bischoff, who sang Happy Birthday to me, and Brian O'Halloran, Dante from Clerks. And that's not even the entire lineup. That was huge. That was a markout moment for me on the show.
He's a buddy of my brother's. Plays him his
softball games.
Who's that?
Brian O'Halloran.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah, really cool guy. Really super sweet guy.
Yeah, I said to him, I go, so what? I said, Brian, what are you up to these days? He goes, let me see. And he just rattled off like 30 things. And I was like, I feel like such a heel that I had no idea. A
super busy guy, man.
Oh, yeah.
He really is.
I mean, like in my birthday show, we have what? Road Warrior Animal, Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett.
Brutus Beefcake. I mean, that's a hell of a foursome right there.
That's it. I mean, that's all I really need to know.
You guys have gotten really big since like the first time I appeared on your show to now. Like, you know, you guys have gotten some amazing guests. You know, people are talking about you guys.
It's wild.
It's crazy, and I couldn't be more appreciative of it. And I'm sure Matt can echo that as well, especially with the amount of work that he
Who's
puts
the
in.
One Uber fan you guys got? Lisa Morales?
Yeah. You know Lisa?
I don't. Uh-huh. But, like, I just know. I actually, like, there was, like, a Ring of Honor show out in Texas when I went for WrestleMania. And, like, I saw her. And I was like, I saw her waiting online to get in. And I saw her. And I was like, where do I know her from? I'm, like, racking my brain. And then it was like, oh my God, she's like the Uber Shining Wizards fan.
Yeah,
yeah. She used to come up all the time for WrestlePro and PWS stuff. Yeah. I don't know if she still does.
She probably will.
And I went up to her, and she was like, she like completely no sold me.
We've got quite a few, Lisa.
She's probably listening right now.
No, she will be listening. It's so funny that she lives in Texas. Okay. Austin or Dallas. I think it's Austin or something like
Texas
that.
Texas is big. I have no idea.
And my buddy Josh Wells, who's a fellow comedian from Jersey, went to WrestleMania, and she was his ride to the hotel or something, and she was wearing a Shining Wizard shirt when it happened. And he's like, how the fuck do you know the Shining Wizard? You're from Texas. She's like, they're my boys.
I think when I saw her at that ROH show, she had the Shining Wizards t-shirt on. And I was like, whoa, you know, like, you know, because I love support and everything. And, you know, I love you guys and I love being on the show and I love listening to you guys. So when I see somebody that's like a fan, that's really cool.
It's like one of the markup moments, too, is when you see people, and it hasn't happened in a while, but it has happened. People bringing posters to shows to WWE shows, like SmackDown Live. That say Shining Wizards, or say
Matt, what was the name that they had instead?
Oh, I know it.
I don't know it. I don't remember it.
I know it right now. Someone made a sign because at the time there were four of us, so it was the three guys that were there, and then it was my name, but it wasn't my name.
It was Eddie,
Matt, Tony. Oh, I know it, and Brian.
Yeah, so Matt goes, great sign. Who's Brian?
So someone didn't know who I was. They thought I was Brian, and my name is Kevin. So I was like, dude, we're like, what the fuck? And he fixed it, and he brought the Shining Wizard sign with each of our names in the corner, and a couple guys sitting right front row, like Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, face off, a sign, Shining Wizard right
awesome.
In the back.
That's cool.
So, well, and you guys do something. You get it all over the place.
Well, the one that was like cool for me was at SummerSlam with the big LaGreca head. Did you see it?
Yes.
Like, I'm looking at Roman right behind Roman Reigns, like this big LaGreca head.
Do you seek out that person and just be like,
how
does this happen?
It's rough.
It happens, like, what's the process? Like, if I wanted a giant Matt head, like...
You go to
fathead.com,
yeah,
isn't it?
Or something
like that. There's
ways to do it, but... I was kind of hoping it would start a trend that like my head would be at like every show, but it just hasn't taken off.
Like Colt Cabana was like the first one that I remember that you saw
at
every
Colt Cabana
show.
Was big, yeah.
You'd see Colt's head at every show.
Do you remember back in the 90s, somebody had The Rock with the microphone and the tongue would go up and down?
Yes.
And then you would even have some with like the mic going back and forth.
People were so creative, man.
That was ridiculous. Crazy. That was a long time ago.
Now it's just signs about, you know, people getting themselves over bitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see too many signs anymore, though.
That are supportive.
Because I think they take them away.
Yeah, victim right here. I had a neon sign when we went to Prudential Center a couple years ago. This was when Alexa Bliss was the women's champion there. I had a big sign that said John Cena sucks, S-U-X. And every time I knew that I saw the camera was on me, popped it up. I popped my kid. And then the guy eventually came over. He's like, I got to take it. I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah, I got to take it. I didn't fight him on it. I was like, here, I knew he was going to take it. But it was cool because she was cutting an interview. And every time the camera was on her, John Cena sucks.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Until I got to take it away.
I had a sign taken away from me in, I think it was like 2001. It was when Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Stone Cold, I think it was King of the Ring 2001. There was a triple threat
main event, yeah.
And I got it taken away. It was, my buddy made a poster. It was the Canadian flag, red, Chris Benoit's like face, and I hate talking about Chris Benoit, but I still will for this story, of a beautiful portrait of Chris Benoit. Face, and they took it away because I had stapled red construction paper to the white construction paper.
No staples?
They wouldn't let me in with staples.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? That's terrible.
So, but it was like at the time, it was my favorite poster, and I was like, I can't believe I've never seen that again. Because my buddy took like 3 hours to draw this magnificent portrait that was supposed to be in between the red strips of the Canadian flag.
I've never made a poster.
Oh, I used to do it all the time.
You never made them even for ECW shows?
No. Are you fucking kidding? ECW show?
Yeah. We used to
no,
have
you get
signs.
The shit beat out of you. Are you kidding
no,
me?
You have
you made
have the
goofy
right
signs for like Living Dangerously.
Oh, Francine Piss on Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I was front
you
row.
We should tweet that at her
did
tonight.
It was in my dreams, Dave, in my dreams. No, seriously.
Those are weird dreams, bro.
She actually, if you watch, what was it? It was Living Dangerously. If you watch, she's in the ring. When she turns and her back's to hard camera, she notices the sign and she whispers to Shane, and Shane turns around and they both acknowledge it and they both like kind of giggle to each other. So I popped Francine in the franchise. So that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And if you go back, SummerSlam 97 in the Meadowlands, my entire row had a giant bed sheet that we spray painted Devin Storm's name on. Just to get Devin Storm over.
Really?
Yep.
Because I was at that show.
It's
and
at
I brought
the very beginning of the show, you'll see it pop up. It takes up the entire... Because we were in section 112, which was on hard camera all mm-hmm. night. We were about five rows back. So we were prime spot. Anything that we did was on TV. So as soon as we were on live, the bed sheet went awesome.
How old were each of you, or if you haven't, until you realized where hard cam was, where you could get on TV? Because I never figured it out.
ECW was easy.
Oh, ECW.
You know?
Oh, I'm talking about SummerSlam 97, though. Like, how did you know that that was...
Because you knew that's where the cameras were set up. Like, that's where the Meadowlands always had their cameras, you know?
So you were like, would you go out of your way to try to get that section?
Oh, yeah.
Was that even an option?
We did for that. And the funny thing was, there were 12 of us, because you could buy 12 tickets. So I bought a group. And we didn't buy the whole row. We bought six and six. So we could all sit and, like, lean back, lean forward, talk to each other.
See, I never...
Ah, sweet.
Yeah. I never thought about that. Like, even as an adult, I never thought to think of where...
And that was 97.
Not that I cared as an adult, but as a kid, it would have been awesome.
I think I was 21 at that point, so I probably put a little more thought than the average bear into doing that. So,
Yeah. There was such a gap in between my first wrestling show and when I started going to wrestling shows again that it never even crossed my mind.
So, Dave, did you ever, like, you mentioned the gap. Was there ever a gap for you where you were
out of it?
And back into it, or were you just consistently?
I never got fully out of it, but I remember like the early 90s was kind of like a gray area where I was still paying attention, I was still watching, but I wasn't like going to shows and
right,
you know, because that like early 90 period, like both the WWF and you know WCW was kind of like
So we're like, but like, are we like Hogan's gone from WWE, but not yet in WCW? Are we? Because like 91 to me, that's like when I was old enough to really appreciate wrestling. Like I was all in on the magazines. I was all in on WrestleMania 6, which was obviously 1990. But I was all in on, you know, when Bret Hart won the belt, and then all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah.
So like,
Then it was the transition to the new generation where I feel like a lot of people may have kind of gotten out of it when Hogan wasn't there anymore, when Savage was there but not really there on commentary. Mm-hmm. Undertaker was coming into his own, Yokozuna. So was that – do you remember, like, watching that?
I mean, like I said, like, I was watching it, but it wasn't like – I didn't, you know, because
you didn't
again,
tweet
I,
about it.
Well, yeah. But also too, I was just at that time. I was, you know, in college, so it was
Yeah.
So that was
forget about it.
Yeah.
See, I feel like everybody goes through that unless you
were
like.
I think that you have to
unless you were in college during the Attitude Era when wrestling was at like its highest.
Yeah, by that time, I was already, like, with the Attitude Era hit, I was already out of college. I was married.
Right.
And I was such an NWA guy and such a WCW guy that I was, like, obsessed with WCW. Like, WWF was something I watched, like, in the middle of the week whenever I had a chance to watch it. I was, like, obsessed with WCW at that time. I wanted them to win the war.
Wow.
Hot
take. Hot take. He probably said it before, though.
You think it's do you wonder why there's not as many wrestling fans now as there is during the Attitude Era?
Mainstream wrestling fans might want to.
I mean, it's so much easier now.
The ratings say it, so you're right, actually. So,
well, it's people consume. Like, my daughter's a wrestling fan. She never watches wrestling on TV. She's either watching it on Hulu or she's watching it on YouTube. Like, and it's funny watching my daughter because she's not into the WWE anymore. She's like, she loves like Ring of Honor and
no way.
Yeah.
See, that's cool.
Cause she's 15. She's in high school. So like the WWE product for her is kind of just like a little bit outdated and it's not cool. Like she loves like Marty Scurll and the Bucks and Cody. Like she's into that. You
I'm thinking like when I was like 15, 16, like, it was during that time when it was like the new generation and I love Bret Hart and Bret Hart's my guy and he always will be. Yep. But I was like looking for alternatives and I found ECW and then that led to like FMW and All Japan and New Japan
and the
it
tape
was
trading
so
and
hard. You had to wait for like, or you had to send a check to RF Video or you had to go to an ECW show or an indie show and buy a tape and you had to watch the tape and it was in all Japanese and you're like, what's going on here? And just hope that somebody printed up the match listing. So you knew who these unknown guys were, where you're thumbing through your PWI just to find a picture to put with the name. And now it's just like if I go to YouTube and I punch in FMW, like I could watch the Gladiator and Hayabusa in an awesome match.
Yeah, it kind of takes away from it a little bit. There was something about like waiting for that tape to come and, you know, watching that. Because when you got the tape, you watched it. And then you watched it again.
Yeah.
Like now I find myself like if I'm on YouTube, I'll watch like half the match or I'll watch like a match. But like when I used to get the video, dude, I would watch that videotape until it would break.
It was all anticipated.
And
it's so funny you mentioned YouTube because what you search for on YouTube, you find it, you watch half the match and you see all the selections of what you might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that might be better than what I'm watching right now.
Yeah.
Watch half of this and then I'll go to that. Then I'll click and then watch half of that because, oh, wait a second. Scott Norton joins the NWO? I gotta watch that.
I fell down a June Byers rabbit hole the other day on YouTube. Somebody posted one of her old matches. I want to say it was on 4-1 Mania, one of those sites. And that was it. Like, I was watching like 4 or 5 old school women's matches in a row. It was all good stuff. But that's what happens. Like, you start seeing, like Kevin said, everything that's coming up. Now, I gotta watch this. I gotta watch this. I gotta watch this.
It's insane.
It's cool.
It's a lot.
But it's not a bad problem to have.
No, it's not. But to go back to your original point, because you're saying about like the popularity, I think Kev's right. Like in the fact that I think there's more hardcore wrestling fans now than ever. Because I even remember, because when I first got into wrestling in the early 80s, there was no wrestling fans. I didn't know anybody. You go back and watch wrestling from like 81, 82, it's like old men and old ladies in the audience. Like nobody from my school watched wrestling except for that one kid that introduced me to it. Other than that, there was nobody that was watching it. And I remember it was probably, you know, Hogan that got like the mainstream people into it and stuff like that. But I think there's more hardcore wrestling fans now than ever before. Like, it's not mainstream. Wrestling's not mainstream now. But, man, it's almost like hockey. like, it's not mainstream, but it's like such a huge, like, hardcore fan base, which is great because that, I don't know if a Shining Wizards or a Busted Open would have worked 20 years ago.
No.
But it works now,
right?
Because fans want to hear everything. They want to consume everything.
Because it's more interactive now than it's ever been. So if we have an opinion or you guys have an opinion about something, and if someone agrees or disagrees, they'll let you know like that. And that creates conversation. That creates everything. And that creates more interest in it. So now someone else is seeing this conversation and they're like, well, I have an opinion too. Let me get involved. And like, what are they talking about? What is this show they're talking about? Let me go to it. It's remarkable how that's become.
And I think for me, like, the Attitude Era was awesome, but it's not my favorite era in wrestling. I love that early 80s, and I love right now. Like, I love what's going on in wrestling right now. Like, think about it. NXT is amazing. All right, Raw sucks. So like, right. I get it. Raw sucks. SmackDown's hit or miss. But NXT is amazing. 205 Live is great. Ring of Honor is great. Like, Impact Wrestling's hit or miss. But, you know, sometimes they give you a great show. New Japan is off the charts.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't give you a great show on Thursday.
Well, no, it's a Thanksgiving show.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what we said.
No.
And then the flashback of Chris Masters, really? Like,
yeah, well, that and I don't know who's got it. Who's got the hots for Scarlett Bordeaux?
Oh, everyone doesn't.
I do. Hello.
Yeah, you idiots.
What's wrong with you?
Nope.
Your
what? What are you nuts?
Can't stand it. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
it's too much.
She can't run the ropes. I don't care what
no,
she does.
Look, yeah, she's, I'm sure she's a great human being, but
I don't know. I don't even care if she's a great human being. No. She can come up to me and say I'm an asshole and spit in my face. I'll still be in love with her.
It was like talking to Colt last week. He's like, oh, I can't understand how Cody has that relationship with Brandy where he says nice boobs and people watch her show to watch her cook. And I said, people don't watch it to watch her cook. She's gorgeous. Scarlett Bordeaux is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. She's very, very, probably more gorgeous in person than she is on TV.
She could go Andy Kaufman and read To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't care.
It's a good book.
That's not the argument I'm making.
What? I don't understand what your argument is.
She's gorgeous. She's all over the TV, and everything stops to pay attention to her. It's like, really?
That's how the world works.
I don't want the world. I want professional wrestling.
That's how professional wrestling
works?
These
idiots were talking for an hour and 40 minutes about the Gobble Off or whatever the hell they had.
Oh, it was so much fun. Did you watch
that? Disco Inferno lost the stupid thing.
Yes.
Where did it even come from,
Conor? It was a show designed exactly for that. It was a Thanksgiving show.
It made me angry.
It didn't affect the regular storylines.
It made me angry.
You always say, I want to watch wrestling to take me away from the druthers of the outside world.
I'm surrounded by beautiful women every day.
How that show did not make you just laugh your ass off or just appreciate it is beyond me.
I appreciate Eli Drake. He's got all the talent in the world. Yeah. I love him to death.
So, but going back to the first conversation,
when I hear that, no, not again. Why?
I thought it was awesome
when she came out with the four chicks in the black bathing things, whatever. My kid's walking by the TV. He goes, "What are you watching?" I said, "I really don't know. I just don't know."
You got to tell him to put down the Fortnite and look at these sexy ladies.
It's time for a lesson.
We're getting up against the clock, but going back to like the first conversation that we had about.
Has it been 2 hours already?
It has been 2 hours
insane,
already.
Insane, right?
No, stop! But
going back to like how wrestling
I have
is
two
during
innies
the
over
holiday
here now.
Season.
Knock it off.
Oh, boy.
I got to put my headset on.
There you go. Dude. Is this Scarlett Bart? This is Scarlett.
It is. Yeah. This is her. I don't even care about
the music. It fits.
I'm watching the video.
They tend to do Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas. Every TV product tends to do shows that'll make you just chuckle as opposed to continue serious storylines.
Well, that's true. Raw made me laugh really hard yesterday.
Oh, God. Can
you
shut up for
a
second?
Get to the point. You're like, we're up against the clock. Let me tell a 5-minute story.
It's not a story. I was going to ask his opinion on that. Because you can still continue storylines with having a fucking food fight and shit, right?
Yeah.
You can be goofy during the holidays.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You got to give it a break.
There it is. Okay. That's what it was.
And
you knew it was going to be a badge. You knew going in it wasn't going to be your
badge. They promoted it.
And they didn't deviate from any storylines. They made it strictly about this.
I loved it.
It was a Thanksgiving themed show. I think it's a smart play on Impact. People are either going to watch it. They're not going to watch it because football's on. And they're stuffed and they're asleep from all the
turkey.
And
the ratings went up from the week before on Thanksgiving.
It's a throwaway show. It's better than having some goofy, with all due respect to, like, I don't want to turn on Impact and see somebody dressed as Santa Claus beating somebody up with a bag of presents on Christmas. What's give me a throwaway that? Show that means nothing, because it's stupid. You know
Austin
what's going to happen.
Austin made that an art form.
Just give me the show that doesn't mean anything, where I can sit back and laugh or fall asleep or...
Really?
Well, you eat all the turkey, you get
true.
Sleepy.
Tryptophan. Tryptophan. It's a real...
No, cut boy. The turkey farts, you watch the Impact, you call it a day.
I like it. You watch The Impact.
The Impact.
I love Impact.
Not Impact, The Impact.
The Impact.
I do like Impact. Impact Wrestling's been really good.
It's like a really well-produced independent show on TV.
Yes, I agree.
Is what I think is amazing about it.
I mean, in the list of things that I'm enjoying, it's like Ring of Honor, New Japan, NXT, 205, like Impact. Raw and SmackDown are way at the bottom for me. They're just
Raw, definitely. Man, I feel like I'm used to having breaks when I'm doing the show. I feel like kind of like Drake Maverick right about now.
You could have gone.
Well, we can wrap it up.
I can't do it now. There's only a minute left in the show.
Yeah.
By the time I come back, the show will be over.
That's it. Take it away.
Take it away.
Of course, we want to thank Dave LaGreca @DavidLaGreca1 on Twitter, @BustedOpenRadio on Twitter. If you have a Sirius XM, subscribe. If you have Sirius XM, Fight Nation Channel 93, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Dave is there. Mostly every day. Sometimes he takes a vacation.
Well, yeah, I take days off.
Like a normal person does.
Yep.
But you're always going to get him, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Alec Metz, the producer, is there. Yep. Alex is a great guy. It's a great crew.
Good dude.
It's a great wrestling show. They have awesome guests in studio and on the phone. So definitely check them out. Follow them on Twitter @BustedOpenRadio. Follow Dave @DavidLaGreca1.
Thank you.
400 episodes. This has been amazing.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
7 years. You wouldn't know we've been doing it for 7 years, by the way.
Wrap this up, man. I got to pay.
Dave's
go.
Got to pay.
Yeah, go. Just go.
We want to thank our Patreon producers, of course. Without you guys, the gravy train wouldn't keep rolling every week. Cindy Arden, Dan Russinello, Kathy Hummer, of course, Kratzo, our buddy from across the pond, Mike Martinelli, and Shanto. Thank you, guys. Thank you to all of you. Thank you for everyone that's been a part of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, all of the past shows, all of the present shows, and maybe all the future shows. We'll do some talking after the fact.
Dave, it's a chain on the wall to your left.
To your left. There you go. See
thanks.
It?
Yeah.
Kevin, any plugs before we go?
No, actually, you know what? Let's let this moment speak for itself. This is seven years.
Do you have traveling music?
400 episodes.
Do I have what?
Traveling music.
Traveling music? I do. This is Dave's girl, Nita Strauss.
Oh, nice.
And this was one of the themes for TakeOver.
And he's not even going to get to hear it. Stay tuned. The Rant is coming up next on Rant EM Radio. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget next week, Low Life Louis Ramos joins us to kick off season 8. And episode 401. Wow, we have to start the clock all over again.
That's it.
I'm so glad these busy weeks are finally coming to an end.
The road to 500 begins.
Oh, don't even start, dude.
Thank you to everyone who's ever been a guest, all the supporters, all the people that listen. What? No.
Thank you for everyone. Matt, go ahead. Finish.
I got nothing. Thank you guys for everything. Keep listening. Keep following. We'll see you guys next week.
Keep on keeping on,
That's
people.
Right.
Woo! TV tits.